Okay, let's see here. This is what? Episode 600 of the SML podcast. What the Wait, hold it. Seriously? 600 episodes? Are you fist Because, wait, holy shit. I did some math. If you listen to all of the episodes of the SML podcast in a row, nonstop, it'll take you 50 days straight. There's nothing okay about that. Now hold on, we almost forgot. This is the part of the intro where we go through and we list off all of the episodic programming whose records we have smashed into the ground. Because I'm lazy, I'm not going to do them all. Fuck you. But here's a few good ones. For example, Double Dare. Lassie. Fucking Lassie. American Idol. Survivor. Mr. Wizard. E True Hollywood Story. I've got a true story for you. 600 episodes is a lot of fucking episodes. Anyway, thanks for hanging out. It's been real. It's been fun. It's been long. Like my dick.
Is that like a Tylenol sticking itself out of a heart? Like, what am I looking at?
It's a unicorn.
Oh, it's unicorn.
It's a unicorn.
It flops out very phallically.
Yeah. Is it like a... It's a speaking unicorn with like a...
Speaking of dicks, what's up, everyone? This is the SML podcast, episode number 600.
The kind of milestone that really puts you in touch with your own mortality and what you've been doing with your life.
Jesus Christ.
Means I've known Joe for 60 years.
Wow. Close. It's
64 years.
That's how it feels sometimes. 60 years. So
I have known Joe for a long ass time, though, and that's still
an unfortunate amount of time. Yeah.
Unfortunate.
I've known you for a long time too, Tim.
I met you both at MAGFest too.
Yeah.
I knew Joe over the internet before then, but yeah, that's when I met Purnell, when we interviewed him, when he was master of the game room at MAGFest too. So therefore he was a person of interest worth talking to for the documentary.
Hey, first of all, I'll never stop being a person of interest. I'll like only be good for MAGFest. Like we can be on the board at home on the couch. What's going on? Mag's happening. I'm drunk. Whatever. Yeah.
Wow. I was just drinking on the couch. So, you know, I feel that.
I feel like we need to have introductions. Cole, you're here.
I am.
Purnell, you're here.
I is.
Chris Taylor, you're here.
Well, that's me.
Tim Agabus, you're here.
Yep.
Grant Henry, you're here.
What's up?
And Adam Groupon, you're here.
Did you just call me Groupon?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that in a while. Like, I forgot about Groupon.
You forgot about that? How do you forget about that?
It's in your name.
It's just been a minute. You know, I kind of forgot Groupon ever existed.
I believe it still does exist, doesn't it?
It must. I'm going to look it up now.
Of course we are. You'll hear the furious typing of, yep, there's Groupon. Yeah, it's still there.
Hey, Eustace T. Barlow is here. How's he doing?
Ooh, it thinks I live in Spokane. Gross.
Stemmage, look at you dropping bitties.
I'm here to take the... Man,
Everybody's dropping bits tonight. We gotta play George.
Dropping bits!
We've already rocked it up to 17 Xbox
all over your fucking face.
Wet pancakes. Blood if he has to. He's getting that damn thing.
Yeah, I was just playing George there. So you guys talked, and George just screamed over everything you were saying.
Womp womp. Joe will sell blood to get an Xbox One X. That's not a question of if, it's when.
Yeah, well, I don't. Well, we should talk about the show. That is kind of why we're all here today. Did everyone check out the Microsoft show that happened today?
Oh, I thought you meant this show, the SML podcast. I was like, I was supposed to listen to that?
I've never listened to this show ever.
Me neither, even don't worry.
The reveals on this episode have been dog shit, let me tell you what.
I don't like the host.
A whole lot of filler episodes.
Yeah.
There's been like 30 with all me filler, and then no like killer. 570 useless ones.
This is going to be 30 minutes during pancake batter, but hey, that's okay.
Adam, you have been on a lot of episodes.
I think so, yeah. Like, at least a dozen, I think.
It's been a healthy number since the early days, since, like, the double-digit days.
Yeah. I think 50 OG. Or 49 or something.
Something around there.
That makes you an OG, then.
I am an OG.
What was the first episode I was on? It's on my YouTube list.
That's a good question. Yeah, let me need to figure out.
I have no idea what episode I was on first.
When did we pop our small cherries? That's what I want to know.
Cherries.
I believe I was also on episode 500, so it was before then, certainly.
I don't know which episode number I was first on, but I remember the first episode I did for the game I reviewed, and it was Amnesia.
Really? That was your first one?
Oh.
Yeah, because I remember I had just moved into this house. It was like 2016, and you were like, hey, apparently there's a guy that was going to review the game for you. They were out of country or something. You're like, would you be able to cover a game while he's gone? I was like, sure. I was curious about Amnesia anyway. And then I came back every week for 4 years.
And we just can't get rid of you. You just keep showing up.
I'm never going to leave. When I'm dead, the ghost of Purdell will be on SML.
You're going to try it. Okay, I think I found maybe. Hang on.
How are you finding? Like, what are you looking for? What are you searching to figure this out?
Yeah, my own list of favorites on YouTube's.
Yes.
My first episode was episode 10.
Wow.
On April 19th, 2013. Let's see. This week's feature song is an SML podcast exclusive, the Proto Man Castle demo from the band Gimmick, a new project featuring Chris Taylor and Mike Villalobos, formerly of Descendants of Erdrick.
I got to ask this thing. This makes me curious. Did your first appearance on SML come before you creating the obscure music group?
Yes, I believe so, because the group is from, I believe, October of the same year.
Hot damn. See that?
SML lasted longer than the game Gigantic. Congrats. We've outlived a number of games, sadly.
The Formers.
I tried to look up SML podcast Adam Rippon on Google, but the first hit is, of course, the other guy.
He's never been on the show, though.
I know. Yeah, I know. But he's everywhere.
Did you use Google or Bing?
Google.
Try Bing. Maybe you'll find the porn episode.
No, you will. It'll manifest it into existence.
The SML porn parody.
Someone might lick.
Ooh. Yeah. So yeah, this Google search gives me 10 results. One of this, two. Oh, episode 500, episode 56, and episode 357, and then the rest is the other guy.
Wow.
Yep. Can't even use you to differentiate myself.
Well, it looks like episode 51 was called Dragon Fantasy Pro Bass Challenge, so I'm guessing you were on that one.
That sounds about right.
Okay, this one I just found can't be the correct one, because apparently you guys did... here it is. SML episode 241, Pernell Vaughn of Rhythm and Pixels covers Amnesia. And General Jousting was on that episode, too, so milestone!
Nice.
Also, here's a weird thing. How is it that The Last of Us Part 2 came up on that episode? That was a 2016.
Wow.
That's how long The Last of Us Part 2 has been talked about by Sony, I guess.
I'll be damned.
They just talk about their shit forever.
I didn't even know the first game was that old.
She goes, what are you checking?
I think my first was episode 44. I think it's a Lonely Rolling podcast. It was back when the Lonely Rolling Stars started. So
that would make sense.
Probably that was good times. That was 2013 as well. So
y'all were my favorite band for that time.
Oh, babe.
I listened to Carnivore Vortex like 1,000 times for real.
No, that's true.
That's awesome.
That is true.
It was great.
Awesome. Yeah. Why'd you quit that band, Grant?
You know, I like starting bands and then leaving. It's like a thing.
Mm-hmm. So, admit that
me too, but I'm way slower about it.
There'd be something cool about that when you really think about it, though. Like, you start like a whole ridiculous number of bands and like quickly leave. There'll be like this documentary in like 2050 where it just turns into like all these famous bands have one major point in common. I just had this run on you like the mysterious Grant. We don't know much about him. But what we do know is this guy loved to rock and leave.
Yeah, it's like the longest possible con to take over the world. It's just so long, I won't do it in time. But that's okay.
You snap your fingers and all the bands come back under your control simultaneously.
Whoa.
Sure.
It looks like my first was 225, I think. I don't think I was on before I reviewed River City Tokyo Rumble. But I could be wrong. It was good.
But was it a try it or a buy it?
It was a buy it.
Yeah. I bought it, so it worked.
Yeah, there you go.
Good job. We've sold one game on this show.
Oh, you sold plenty of games on this show.
Actually, I think my purchase of it was unrelated.
Oh, son of a bitch.
It was just a mere coincidence.
But like, yeah, honestly, there's been a couple times where I've bought games because of this show. And I get, like, there's definitely been, like, a guy who I know from, like, RMP who, like, will message me. So I was like, oh, I heard the review on the show. I bought that game almost immediately. It's a good review. I'm like, well, damn, keep listening, nice. Home.
Nice.
Dark I mean, I bought an Xbox One X because games. Of this show.
Yeah, Tim, you bought an Xbox because of this show.
Fucking Xbox because of this show.
How do you feel about your purchase now that it's been a while? Are you happy with your purchase of an Xbox One X?
Yeah,
I played a lot of stuff on Game Pass in the past year.
No, we need more details here. What was the catalyst that got you to buy the whole console?
Oh, it was that we got a Sekiro code in, and it was for Xbox, not something else. And I was like, that got me off the fence, basically. I'd already had like the thought swirling in my head, because I was like, oh, if I get an Xbox One now, you know, this was last year. I was like, I could play all of the first party stuff that I've been missing since whenever it came out just by getting Game Pass. And that'll be great. And, you know, if a Sekiro code comes in, then I don't have to spend $60 on the game itself. And yeah, that's kind of how it went down, basically. Joe was like, well, we got the code in, but it's for Xbox. And I was like, give me 45 minutes to think about this. And I had already, like...
Didn't even go away. For the full hour.
No, I had already hoarded away, like, some... I had been hoarding Best Buy credit for the event of possibly grabbing an Xbox One, and so I did.
Yeah. It's funny. I'm feeling that a little bit now myself, because, like, of course, you know, the new console coming down the pike at some
point. Oh, are they? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, right.
The Xbox One, too?
Isn't it the Xbox 5?
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Xbox Millennium Box. But like over the last years,
I've been,
like,
a box
of a Target sale where they pretty much give you discounted store credit. So I'm sitting on like $1,200 in Target credit.
Holy crap.
What should I do with this? I'm like, I keep waiting for an emergency or this major purchase where I'm like, man, it's a good thing I have this store credit to spend. And maybe it'll end up being a console. That way I can just throw some cards out, and I feel like I took a hit in my wallet.
Yeah. That's actually how I got my Wii U, was trade-in credit at Target. I paid really? Nothing for that console, which is about what it's worth, really. Oh, no.
Oh, no time's dropped 6 biddies. Thank you for the biddies, no time.
Drop it, bitch!
But the Wii?
No, the Wii U. I mean, it was great when those games weren't on, you know, Switch, because that didn't exist yet. But man, there were quite a few bangers on the Wii U.
I enjoyed the Wii U thoroughly. Yeah. So I'm with you.
I have no regrets.
Like, on one hand, it's good that all these people who didn't have a Wii U get to enjoy games now. But on the other hand, it's like, bitch, I had a Wii U. Don't be giving my bounty away.
I gotta hold this. I gotta lord this over people. God damn it!
It's not even about the lording. It's like it's that concept.
No,
of
it's
like,
about the lording.
No, a little, but it's also there's that part that's always like, hey, I bought this first version of the game, and I played it. For all the people who didn't support and didn't kick you, here's a better version. Even if it's on a better console. It's like shit. Yeah, I wish I had this on the Switch instead of on the Wii U, but I'm not double dipping, and I can't just one-to-one swap it, so I get to watch all these cats skip to my loo with their copies of Wonderful 101 Remastered, and I'm just staring at my...
I forgot that came out.
Yeah, like, staring at my deadbeat copy, like, man, it'd be great if I just didn't support the system like everybody else, and I just continue to die and look at the full version of it. That'd be great.
I will say... the Wii U still has a fantastic virtual console service.
Yeah.
And if you have a SNES or NES Classic, either of those two, you can actually use those controllers for the virtual console, plug them into the Wii controller, because it's the same connection.
That's cool.
And they got like some good TurboGrafx, Turbo CD stuff in there. And yeah, I've been happy with that for sure. Still the only way to play Earthbound Beginnings.
Yeah, true.
It's the only way to play a Pikmin 3, I believe, until hopefully soon, because I never played it. I never want
to
play it.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, like Super Mario 3D World's on there.
Color
Zelda, those Zelda HD remakes are on there.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Everybody? No, that's one of them, yeah.
It's where I played Breath of the Wild, because I got a Switch a year late. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think, but there aren't a lot.
The ISO of that, so I can play it on that emulator in 4K.
Yeah,
and you know, if that didn't exist, I wouldn't be able to do that. That would make me sad. I like emulators; they're interesting. I did the finger thing again, by the way. Just so
we can hear that.
There was a shiver down my spine.
I assumed you didn't stop doing the finger thing. You just
the entire time. Just nonstop finger.
Just nonstop finger. That summarizes the Xbox show today. Putting out the next
There's
Wii U.
A segue.
That almost sounds like
SML. Speaking of fingering.
Cole. Hard passion fingering. Let's talk about Microsoft had to say today.
You know, I was the only one that liked Zombie U. I just want to say.
I never tried it.
But I feel like Zombie U is one of those random games where it doesn't click as well without the Wii U combination. Because the thing I liked about the game was that when you went into your backpack, you had to actually look down at the screen, and the game didn't stop. So there was like it added that level of tension. Like I can't just sit around just rummaging through my inventory and sorting shit because who knows what's going to come after me while I'm doing it. More zombie games need that kind of like fear element. So you can't just like hang around just dragging your feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some cool shit that was done with the Wii U being a second screen. I miss having a map at my disposal at all times during games on a Switch.
I will say I would like it if the Switch let you do that. Like, there doesn't really, you know, there's no way to do that.
The Switch is that.
Yes. So.
They have to have, or not so much have to, but I guess by virtue of the concept, people feel like you have to have the ability to play it on your TV or in the handheld mode. Mm-hmm. So if they were, hey, if you have a Switch connected to your TV somehow, you can like have it, you can look at it on the TV and the monitor. Okay, what happens when I'm not on the TV? Well, we didn't think about that. that gets a little dicier at that point. But yeah, I do agree. Like I wish there was some mechanism there because even with some of the Wii U to Switch ports, even though the game is very competent on the Switch, I still kind of feel like, you know, it'd be nice if I still had that second screen so I could do these things on it. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. But of course, there's also some games that would make more sense on the Switch because, like, for example, was it Kirby and the Rainbow Curse? I love the game so much, but it really made no sense to be on the Wii U because you pretty much never looked at the TV despite it being displayed on the TV because you're doing everything on the touchscreen. Like, you can't think of a single person who played it that way.
All I know is I've been saving a ton of time because I don't have to write dual screen support anymore thanks to the 3DS and the Wii U being gone. And instead, I'm taking that time and putting more video game in there. Now, who am I kidding? I'm spending that time just sitting around looking at Facebook. Ranting with Joe about something.
Yeah. Fucking people not wearing masks.
Yeah. Fucking poop people.
So Joe might be happy to know that I am planning on buying an Xbox One X or whatever it's called.
Series X.
I decided today, and you know why.
Is it a One X?
Is it called Psychonauts or is it Fable?
Is it Dragon Quest?
Yes, it's Dragon Quest.
But that one's already out.
It's already coming out.
Yeah, I already own it twice, but I'm going to own it three times now.
Wait. How many times do I own it? I own it four times right now.
I'm loving it. Like, what new game sold you on a console? Not the new, but it's the one.
It's my as yet unbroken streak of having purchased every Dragon Quest that has come out in the U.S. ever. I have to buy it on Xbox One X, so when it comes out. So that means I probably should get a system too.
Well, you can't because it'll be on Game Pass.
I've got the Japanese version of the PS4 game. I've got the English version. I've got the Switch, both versions of it for Switch, Japanese and English. I got the Japanese 2DS special edition slime thing and the game. And then I bought it on my fancy PC I built the other day for my project that I'm working on that I'm not going to tell you anything about.
Tell us about it.
Dragon Quest Secrets.
Probably not cool. That's why he's not telling us about it.
Yeah, it's definitely not cool. Nothing I've done in years has been cool. I'm almost 40. I don't do cool things anymore.
Man, and I do have to specify, for Purnell's sake, that or whoever's mentioned Game Pass, that I buy all the physical games.
I get it.
Yeah.
I want to see the shelf.
Some digital exclusives.
I want to see the shelf. I want to see the Dragon Quest shelf.
I need to make one, actually. I have so much Dragon Quest stuff now, I actually could make a shrine. I'm kind of like philosophically against the shrine thing for myself because I have so much stuff and it's really hard to like section off any storage for display purposes.
Yeah, you don't need no candles. Just put them on a shelf and then just be like, this is my shelf. It's not a shrine. I put this together to take a picture for Grant.
Did I ever tell you guys about the guy who I worked with at Other Ocean who had the like 75 copies of Top Gun for NES on his desk?
Oh my gosh.
He had like a whole shrine. It was just like this beautiful arranged layout of nothing but Top Gun for the NES and like a couple of Top Gun 2s and some like Atari versions or some shit like that. It was so that's the best part. He got it off of eBay from a guy who was like, I collected all of these because I was in a dark place. I lost my wife and my friends, and all I could do was play Top Gun. So I kept buying copies of Top Gun. And then my friend bought it, and he sent him this letter with it that said, thank you for freeing me from my curse.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, so he framed that letter. Oh my god, I gotta ask Mike Mica about it sometime. I'm sure he's got pictures.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I really wanted to do a Digital Eclipse Top Gun collection where it was just 40. 40 copies of Top Gun. And all of them had like one bit randomly flipped.
So this reminds me of a thing. They did a study on a guy because he had this like curious thing that went along with his depression. He had, you know, clinical depression. Mm-hmm. And, but his, like when he was in a depressed episode, the only thing he liked, like the only thing that could like make him in any way, like see the light was the music of Johnny Cash, which is, you know, good music, I think.
That's pretty rad.
But when he wasn't depressed in times when things are actually okay and he was level headed, he couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand the music of Johnny Cash. So I'm wondering if Top Gun is like the NES equivalent of having a, you know, a game that only works when you're clinically depressed.
It almost makes you question, like, so what was your reason? I don't know. I guess when I was ever in my darkest place, I just started to realize that at least my life isn't as bad as Johnny Cash music sounds. I don't know.
There you go. I just really hate prisons, okay? And I like trains.
Yeah. Also, fire when it's in a circle is wonderful. Squares and other shapes, terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, rhombuses.
Fuck you, rhombuses. Hey,
don't you smash talk rhombi.
What is wrong with us? Quite a bit, I would say.
I bet that guy with all the top guns is like really good at refueling. Because refueling is really hard in that game.
I suck at landing the plane. I can never land.
I can land. I just can't refuel. It's just this tedious... I don't even know what you're supposed to do. You just kind of move the dongle around until it's where it's supposed to be. But
That's what she said.
Funny too. I think that might be the porn parody of Top Gun you're talking about there.
Oh, that's what that is. That was real life.
Dongle dock.
I think one year Chris streamed for like... What's that? One of those charity things, Extra Life, I think it was. And he just streamed himself like perfectly playing each copy of Top Gun. Like he'd play it all the way to the end perfectly, land the damn plane, everything, and then go on to the next one. And he did like, I don't know, 10 or 15 times or something like that.
Why?
Because I don't know, he's a weird dude.
He was almost flaunting the skill. So I feel like for all the games that people like to talk up about, you know, I was always good at this game. This was the game that made me a man. That game, Top Gun, is one that doesn't get discussed nearly often enough because that one was freaking brutal. I don't know. I don't really know anybody personally that was like, oh, yeah, I was a pro at this game. I just kicked the shit out of it. Like, no one. It was just this frustrating E.T.-like abomination.
Great game, song.
Yeah.
I never saw Top Gun until about 3 weeks ago. But I owned Top Gun for NES. So I would just thought it was the best song I'd ever heard, the theme song. I'm right. It's just like amazing. Anyway, continue, Parnell. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It makes me think in a way. Like, imagine buying the game, loving the theme song, but bombing hard at the game. Like, well, at least I got something out of this deal. Shit. I got a solid opening. But like, yeah, more people need to bring that game when they talk about, you know, games that burned them out or like beat the tar out of them on the NES back in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Ninja Gaiden deserves some competition.
Yeah, or Battletoads.
Oh, that fucking game.
I was really hoping we would see Battletoads today. Is like,
I was surprised they didn't show it.
I mean, at the same time,
they had a nod to it though in Grounded. Did you see?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, giant battle.
There was a giant battle toad that they were climbing on.
That was very cool.
So it was. I mean, even though they didn't show it, they still had that. Yeah, well, we know you guys are looking for it. Kind of nod.
Yeah. So, did everyone watch the Xbox show today? Is there anyone who didn't see it?
I did not see it.
You know there was a guy.
Hang up on him. Just drop him.
Hush,
bastard.
Hush, you
know I didn't see it.
What I did do, though, I didn't have the time to sit down and watch the whole thing, but what I ended up doing was I found a list where they kind of like, here are all the games that they talked about, and the ones that stuck out to me in a sense, I went and looked at their trailer, so I at least got the feel for what they were all about. Like, obviously, my biggest exciting thing was that they're finally showing more actual footage of Psychonauts 2 now, so I just like a sizzle reel saying, hey, this is coming at some point. Now it's like, we've got some gameplay footage, and Jack Black is a wisp. It's not to like. so I was really excited to see that. And I'm glad to actually see that SteamWorld company is finally making a game that isn't SteamWorld related.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Oh, it's a really cool looking game.
Well, yeah. And the name, the gunk, it reminds me of the ooze. But in another light, it also reminds me of that gunk from the Creepshow movie from a long time ago that was floating on the water. It was eating all the campers, or the teenagers, rather. That was the first thing that came to mind when I saw the trailer for the gunk. I was like, what the hell is this? I wonder if that guy liked Creepshow or something. The guy came with the idea for gunk. But should be interesting to see it play out in this final.
For the people who didn't see the show, we should probably go through the bullet points. We'll go through all the highlights. We could discuss the important stuff that pops up along the way. We'll start off with the pre-show. I think they started off on a super, super high note by announcing that Dragon Quest XI S is coming to Xbox One. Not only coming to Xbox One, but coming to Xbox Game Pass.
About time there's a Dragon Quest on there.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it happening, and it's coming December 4th, so it's right around the corner.
That is the first Dragon Quest game on Xbox?
Yeah, first Dragon Quest game on Xbox.
First Dragon Quest on Xbox.
It's a solid JRPG just by virtue of the fact that they typically kind of get screwed on getting those. Mm-hmm. So it's good that they got a good one, a big one, that people still have interest in playing. So yeah. It's like, honestly, I'd play it on Game Pass.
I was going to say, yeah, the Xbox 360 got Blue Dragon, and that was not a Dragon Quest.
No.
No.
I will say I'm like one of the five people in the world that actually liked Blue Dragon, though.
I like a thing about Blue Dragon, and that is the boss
theme. Well, I mean, this is the beginning of a story. I mean, I sing that at karaoke, damn it. It's just
nice.
I love that damn song. And it's the song that when you first heard it, you're like, this is just terrible. Why in the world? And then by the third time, you're like, oh, this is amazing. This fight.
See, I knew the story, or I knew what was behind the song before I heard it. And so I listened to it expecting to hear exactly what it was. And then I heard it and I was like, this is amazing.
I still don't know what's behind it. Was there some?
Can I diverge this entire thing off into a short story?
Sure. About what?
That's what eight people
are for. About the boss theme. The boss theme to Blue Dragon on the Xbox 360. So, of course, Blue Dragon was a joint jam by some Enix people and some Squaresoft people. And the soundtrack was done by Nobuo Uematsu, whose name I still don't exactly know how to pronounce.
I hope you had a bucket when you did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes! Al Fantasy. That's his name, Al Fantasy.
John Fantasy.
Yes. Albert Fantasy.
I was about to say John Fantasy.
John Albert John
Fantasy. Oh, anyways, of the fantasies.
Of the family fantasy. So he created the soundtrack. Here's the thing, for whatever reason, I guess they just gave him like free reign to do whatever he wanted. And I like to think that the thing that he most wanted in the world was to make a boss theme in the style of Deep Purple and have actual Ian Gillan from Deep Purple sing it. Because that is the vocalist for that song.
Oh, mm-hmm. Is it?
Yeah, yep. It's actual Ian Gillan from the best years of Deep Purple. Okay. And they've had several different singers, well, a couple different singers. But so here's the thing. Nobuo's music, if you listen to it and you're a Deep Purple fan, you will hear Deep Purple all through his stuff. Like, even the Final Fantasies have elements of, like, John Lord, like, organs and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, one of the first games he worked on, Rad Racer, was called Highway Star in Japan. And Highway Star is, of course, an extremely popular Deep Purple song.
No.
So I feel like this theme song was Nobuo getting to work with his hero.
Chris. That's Detective. Yeah. That's great.
So you can listen to the song. So listen to the song with the idea in mind that the composer, one of the most legendary video game composers in the world, is getting to write a song in the style of his, like, one of his most influential bands with the actual lead singer of that band. And then you'll get past the cheeseball lyrics and the fact that Ian Gillan was, I think, 62 years old when he sang it.
Damn. So,
also, yeah. But I will say, for the record, there's no needing to get past the lyrics, because, again, those things are fantastic.
It's great. Great video game rock out, like, inspirational
lyrics. Gosh! God, it's so hilarious, but it's so good at the same time. I can't.
Yeah. A game that vaguely resembles Dragon Quest and is way too obsessed with poop, I think that there is a shining light in that whole thing, no matter which way you slice it, and that is the boss theme to that game. That's the end of my story.
And Blue Dragon's playable on Xbox One, so there you go.
There you go. I have a copy, so there you go.
When you get your Xbox One, you'll be able to play it.
Yeah.
Coincidentally, him saying this is the end of the story is also lyric from the song!
Nice! I didn't even realize that.
Yes, it is! Oh, mercy.
Oh, you, my sir, lord. Okay, after Dragon Quest, they showed a game called Exomecha, developed by Twisted Red. It's some kind of free-to-play first-person shooter coming in 2021. Cole, did you have any thoughts on this? I know you like shooters.
I was like, it's a game.
It's a game.
It didn't stand out to me, but it didn't look offensive either. It was like, just, you know, I might play it one or two times. If I don't get hooked on it, oh well, at least it's only free to play.
Yeah.
That's all us developers are ever looking for.
Yeah. I do feel bad when I have that nonchalantness about a game, but sometimes I just can't help it. And this was one of those instances where I was like, it looks like it could be cool, but I need a little more meat to know if I'm excited or not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll find out.
Exomecha. Sans
Thesis says it's a game out of 10, and I'm like, that's a lot of my reviews, to be fair.
It is.
I played it, now what?
Oh, man. Well, they had a new trailer for Watch Dogs Legion, which is coming out October 29th. I think whatever could be said about Watch Dogs, we said last week during the Ubisoft conference. So, a game called Echo Generation from Coco Cucumber with voxel style visuals. This one's coming in 2021. I thought this one looked really cool.
I like the fact that the developer's called Coco Cucumber.
I was told by a couple people I need to watch this trailer.
Yeah, that had kind of a cool look to it. I look at it and I'm like, man, I feel like the main character's moving too slow.
Which game were you just talking about, Joe?
Echo Generation.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Gosh, I missed the chance to mention this. You said XO1 already. I didn't realize that was what this was called. That's the one you're playing as an alien craft, like hopping off of sand dunes and stuff. Did you guys see the trailer for XO1?
No.
Nope.
I played this at GDC, and it blew my mind. So it's awesome, and I've been looking forward to it since March, and I hope it's coming to other stuff. But anyway, I forgot it was called XO1. I was looking down the list of indies, like the ID Xbox Indies, and saw it was there, but you're basically this little weird flat ship that is just sort of like riding up, using momentum to ride up and down like dunes and through clouds and stuff, and it looks nuts. So, but yeah, pretty rad. That was like I was happy to see that in the list. I just forgot what it was called.
This sounds amazing.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry, Joe, to back up like that. I just forgot I was waiting for the ones I remember the names of. Continue.
It's all good.
I only learned about this because Joe mentioned it, but I decided to look it up. Oh my god. This is one of the trailers I should have looked at. This is my jam. It's a freaking Earthbound inspired turn-based RPG.
No, it's not.
Ooh. Echo Generation.
Echo Generation.
That one. That's the one.
Yeah.
Man, if I'm looking at the right Echo Generation, that's what I got out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And shout out to Swizzlers, who just dropped 250 biddies in chat, and Carnage, who dropped 10. George, take it away.
Dropping bits!
Thank you, George.
George, and I'm here to say, thanks for dropping them biddies because I'm happy today.
I feel bad that you guys can't hear the sound effects. It makes it so much more awkward when it's like, hey, George, take it away, and it's just silence.
I'm just trained.
Oh, I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, I'm playing sound clips.
I just know that George, I know George's voice. I know the kind of stuff George likes to say. Hence, it just makes it that much more imaginative and fun to be like, George is saying some crazy shit right now.
George says a lot of crazy shit for the show. Which, by the way, thanks again to George for that awesome intro to the show. It was pretty bad shit. Pretty bad shit. And no time dropping five more biddies.
See, so no, what more. It sounds like to me is you keep talking about George, he'll keep dropping biddies.
I will.
So did you know that George actually hails from a Norwegian village?
Was he?
Yes. Yes, he does.
You know what else hails from a Norwegian village? I don't know, but
not the next game.
Not the next game. Yeah. But the next game they talked about.
Like, we're not ready to talk about Hellblade yet.
No, but they showed off Hello Neighbor 2 from Tiny Build. So Hello Neighbor is getting an official numbered sequel.
I never got to play the first time Hello Neighbor, but I am curious. One thing I was concerned about, for anyone who has played that game, is the whole thing about the neighbor having a creepy secret, one of those like freaking like Saturday morning cartoon coincidences. Like, actually, I just have my wife's birthday present in the basement.
I reviewed that one for Switch, and I didn't get all the way to the end, but I don't think that is it, because there is actually like there's parts of the game where you actually jump forward, like, into the future. Mm-hmm. When, like, and, like, there's, like, consequences of, like, the whole interactions, you know, in the past and stuff like that. So it's, like, it's a weird story that goes weird places.
So he very well could be, like, a serial killer or something.
Or something, yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, I still didn't make it to the end, but I know that it's not just a you know, pull the mask off and...
Scooby-Doo.
Mr. Willen! Yeah. That's me!
I'd have succeeded if it weren't for that pesky kid and his weird grapple physics.
His weird obsession with breaking into my house.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. All right. After that, there was an ID at Xbox sizzle reel that showed off a whole bunch of games that are coming first to console with the ID at Xbox program. Some of the highlights are like Dead Static Drive, Sable, The Artful Escape, The Falconeer, Tunic. So a lot of good games coming that way. After that was a game called Balan Wonderworld. This one surprised the hell out of me.
Now we're talking.
This one was wild.
This is Yuji Naka working with Square Enix on a new company called Balan Company. This game so far is confirmed for Xbox One and Series X with smart delivery. It is a 3D action platformer with over 80 different costumes with their own unique abilities, and it is playable in 24 different languages.
Ooh.
I think that's one of the games I actually did read about that sounded cool. That's the Yuji Naka bit, right?
Yeah.
This is the guy who worked on Nights into Dreams, yeah. And that was a very cool looking game.
Yeah, he was the head of Sonic Team for a while, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for a very long time.
Yeah.
Back in the day, Muteki's three internet servers were Miyamoto, Suzuki, and Naka.
So it was like three car dealerships or something.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yu Suzuki from
Shinmu, right?
Yeah, Shinmu, yeah.
I always wonder if I'm pronouncing that properly because Shinmu. I remember people used to try to pronounce that. I was like, I don't think that's right.
I got no idea.
It's clearly Shinmu.
And Mui.
Yeah, that was kind of my favorite game that was shown today.
What, Balan Wonderworld?
Yeah.
What did you think of this one, Tim? Tell us more about your thoughts on this one.
Well, I am very into it's a colorful, cartoony platformer that looks like it has like a lot of fun, like it, you know, otherworldly stuff going on. Like it has like a Mario kind of level of like creativity where we're not going to try to adhere to, you know, the bounds of reality. Yeah, it's like platforms are just floating around. We got like lots of different, you know, environments. And then, yeah, all the different abilities. It just looks like there's a lot of fun to be had.
Did it give you the impression that they were going to go outside of the usual scope of like world design? Like, here's an ice state. Here's a fire level.
I mean, those are definitely present.
Of course. Like,
I'm trying to think looking at it. I don't remember.
You were caught up in the Wonderland.
I was caught up in the Wonderland, but they're much more, I don't know. It felt like what I was seeing was like more elaborate than just like kind of like that straightforward, like here's ice, here's fire, here's woods, you know, whatever sort of deal.
It looks like a party. It looks like a party. It's bright and crazy and.
Yeah. Colorful. There's stuff going on. Like you can see a bunch of crap going on in the background and. It's a fun looking game. It just looks fun, damn it. I want to have fun.
I will say that I'm genuinely curious about the whole 90 costumes with abilities bit. Like, it has me wondering if it's going to be certain costumes have, like, redundant abilities, or if it's going to be something like this costume unless you honk your nose. What does it do? Make a sound. It's like, that's not an ability, that's a plight. Maybe. I wish my nose made that sound when I honked it.
Oh, that's going to like everything.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Baby!
That is also coming to like Switch and PC and PlayStation and all that jazz.
Is it?
Yep.
All right, cool. I know they only confirmed it for Xbox and Series X during that presentation, but I kind of figured had to be a multi-platform game.
Yeah.
That was just the pre-show. That wasn't even the actual show, because the actual show started off with 8 solid minutes of Halo Infinite gameplay. They confirmed it is going to be coming out holiday 2020. It will be a launch title for the Series X. Anyone have any thoughts on Halo Infinite?
I don't like awesome. Halo.
I've never been a Halo guy.
I put about 1,000 hours into the first Halo. I probably put about 50 hours into the second one and never played it again. And then
I just think, the first was
because we played, we would carry our CRTs to each other's houses and go LAN party style. Because that was we tried like the router based software thing. I can't remember the second word, the name of it. It's like a tunneling software and it never worked very well. But
my friends and I did the LAN thing too.
Yeah, it was just some of the most fun I've ever had. And
that's
then
actually, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say that was the only way I played Halo. The first two actually was through friends bringing over their TVs for LAN parties. And I never played it one player, but I always won because I was always playing Morrowind and it has the same controls.
Oh, training.
I learned how to strafe with machine guns and like still shoot with perfect accuracy so people couldn't actually take me down ever. So
damn.
And then I just never played it one player. I still haven't.
Well, the first one's like, we would try that for a while and then go, oh, this is the same hallway for the 50th time. And then we just go back to playing multiplayer. But I just never picked it back up again. But something about the new trailer, it's so pretty and it's so detailed and so fast. Like it's 60 frames locked, just looks awesome. It sounds good. I would love to try it again. I just think the Warthog's fun to drive. I don't know. I'm so detached from the Halo universe. I have no idea what's going on.
But I was buttery. I'd love to try
it. It was smooth to watch. A lot of people online bitched about the visuals. They said it didn't look that good compared to like Halo 3, and I think they're out of their goddamn minds. I thought it looked great.
If you look at stills, like I did see some stills posted that did not look as. I mean, they're, you know, who knows, unfinished textures, character models, I don't know what, but they didn't look as impressive as one might want them to, but like in motion, you don't notice that. See,
I thought it looked great.
You stop, and then you look at it, and you're like, oh, maybe that could look better.
Those kind of tiny details, too, are what get fleshed out during crunch.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I mean, we only have a date of holiday 2020. There could be as much as 5.5, maybe even 6 full months of work left to do.
Yeah, I'm expecting like, mid-November.
They've got time. I figure November is the most likely date for it.
No.
But I mean, that's still a lot of time to put in the finishing touches and final details and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if I'm buying this system for Dragon Quest, I'll also pick up Halo at some point. I feel like I should.
It's going to be on Game Pass.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It is Game Pass.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
they stress that every title we're going to talk about is going to be on Game Pass.
Because that's what they're selling.
Which is ridiculous that every single game we're going to talk about during this Xbox event is going to be on Game Pass.
That means that, you know, yeah, you used to have to pick two games at a console launch because, my God, your wallet's already empty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. A pick from this. From what you know, everyone remembers the game they got at launch with the GameCube or the Wii or whatever, because it's like you just didn't have a bunch of cash. You pay for a month of Game Pass and you can try all of these. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's really a good idea, actually.
It's crazy. It's just amazing. Like I considered getting the digital edition of the S back last time it was super cheap because I think it was only $150, $160. Because I'm like, I can just Game Pass and just go through all these games.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I like to get discs and then flip them. It's just a thing I like to do. So, and I'm trying to save money, but still, the Game Pass thing is a true value there. And I just think it's even more so with this. I can't believe all this new pretty stuff is going to be on it. That's just.
I think Joe talked to me about it a ways back when I first had this question, but it still blows my mind. Like how it's profitable for Microsoft to do this. Like, hey, you know, here are all these games. You don't have to buy them or anything. Like, because the Game Pass subscriptions aren't even that much. They're not that a great deal of money either, are they? They're fairly cheap.
It's $15 a month, but you can get it on sale. I usually buy it when it's buy 3 months, get 3 months.
Yeah.
I'm subscribed out for, I don't know, I don't have to worry about it this year.
I haven't paid for Game Pass in a very long time.
Yeah, you win yours, so shut up.
And I'm still riding that wave when they did that weird promo where you could get like Game Pass Ultimate with your live subscription or something like that, where it's, oh, it carried over with your previous amount of time.
It.
Yeah. I ended up getting it for like two or three, some crazy amount of time. I still have it from that promo. But like, it's amazing because like now I'm sitting there seeing myself thinking like, you know, there's been a couple of times where like a game will come out on, say, the Switch or something. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go buy that, but I don't want to spend the money. And my friend who's like a big Xbox fan, that's also not Joe. I have two friends do this. He was like, by the way, Purdell, just hint, hint. So I'm Game Pass. I'm like, oh, shit. It's on now.
Yeah, but I was seeing it pointed out today that it's just kind of like a difference of priorities between the companies, and that, you know, Sony wants you to buy their shiny new console so you can buy their shiny new games. Microsoft just wants you to have something in front of you so you can buy Xbox Game Pass. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a PC, an Xbox One, a Series X, fucking whatever. Just get Xbox Game Pass. That's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
Like, commit to that. Give us money on a monthly basis, and we'll make it good for you.
I'm thinking, like, I guess that makes sense, because, like, if their focus is solely on the subscription service, it might be a matter of exponential gains. Like, if we can get, I don't know, every person who owns an Xbox, and we have to get a lot of people to buy the Xbox to all be subscribers, they'll just make enough money to not even care about new game releases. They'll just make money hand over fist for monthly subscriptions. Like,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Has it been said whether or not Xbox compensates developers or publishers for games on download, or is it based on time, hours of played? Because I know there are, I know for a fact there are different companies that handle the subscription things. I don't think anyone has actually
come out and confirmed any kind of payment structure, and I don't think they're allowed to.
Yeah. There are others.
Microsoft that, robots will get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are others that definitely do the amount of time played is what you get paid.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. It seems like that would be the way they would have to do this, but it is a thing we'll probably never know, but I would be curious to know.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard.
I don't know.
Cats.
Carnage brought it up in chat as well, and we've talked about it before. But the dev for Descenders said that their numbers were like quadrupled once they went into Game Pass of sales, not just players, but sales. Because even if we all talk about Game Pass, we're all hardcore gamers, we all play games to a large degree, and yet there is a very large percentage of casual players out there who don't buy into Game Pass. It took me forever to sell my nephew on Game Pass. And then his wife was like, why didn't you tell him about that sooner? I was like, I've been trying for years. Okay? Don't look at me. But there is a good sized portion of the community that's not hardcore enough to give a fuck. And so they're just content to keep buying. And what happens is that when a game comes out on Game Pass, it's blasted everywhere. This game's on Game Pass. This game's launching into Game Pass. You should check this out on Game Pass. And people go, well, I don't fucking care about Game Pass. I don't play enough games to have that. But I might pick that game up. It looks cool.
That's an interesting thing you hear you say about that, too. Because like you make the mention that they don't feel like they're hardcore enough to get Game Pass. But I got to say, in my mind, it feels like, if anything, Game Pass is more convenient for people who aren't hardcore.
You would think. Yeah, you would absolutely think.
It's cable TV. It's like cable TV for gaming. Like, you got the person who's like, I'm going to go out and buy every DVD for every show I like. And then you got the guy who's like, fuck, I want to watch it on TV with my freaking Comcast subscription. I'll just stream off of their service. It's like, it's a similar concept there, except honestly, at the price you've mentioned for Game Pass, especially when Tim mentioned that you can get those crazy sales, you make out like a bandit. As long as you're not concerned about physically owning the product. And you're just like, I want to play, move on. You make like a bandit with that service. It's ridiculous. Because like, what is it? I mean, I definitely spend more in physical copy costs per year on games.
Do you? You buy a lot of games per now?
What?
No. For Shuguna, this is a modest spend. As a modest game purchaser, I spend more than a yearly subscription of Game Pass would cost to play twice the amount, maybe, or something like that. It's crazy.
The way I look at it is, like, this week alone, Carrion is coming out on Game Pass. That's $20 for that one game. Or I could buy a month of Game Pass Ultimate for 15, get that and 200 other games, plus gold privileges, plus Game Pass on PC, plus Game Pass perks.
And that's funny that you made that comment, because I'm not even joking. Not even 2 minutes ago, I just typed, oh, I just learned that Carry On's on Game Pass. I'm going to try that out, that exact game. So there it is. Download it
this weekend, probably.
Because I had been curious about it, but I didn't want to pay that cost for it just to try it. But with Game Pass, like, no, you have to try it. You can play the whole damn thing.
Anyways.
Says that they got the trial of Game Pass for $1 on PC and played through 4 games that had been on their Steam wish list for years.
Would you do that?
I did that.
That's what he just said in chat.
I did the same thing. I did it with. I did it so I could play Outer Wilds.
I've got Hollow Knight installed because I've been waiting to play it for forever, and I was like, oh, fuck, it's on Game Pass.
And I believe you pay the advanced version, and then you can just do their new streaming service, too. So there ain't no turning back. There ain't no turning back.
Cloud's going to be part of Game Pass Ultimate in September, I think they said.
Anyway.
Can we get back to the Wii U now, please?
Yeah, back to the Wii U. More games coming to the Wii U. They showed off a trailer for State of Decay 3. Cole, you lost your shit at this trailer.
I flat out, me and number one were sitting here watching it. Number two, number three were here. Number three was on my lap, and I scared her, and she covered her ears with her hands when I screamed out. That's how fucking psyched I was. Because we were watching it. Me and number one, we were going, oh my god, this looks awesome. Wow, look at that. That's so cool. Look at the attention to detail. Look at the textures. And you know, we were geeking out over the artsy shit that we tend to do. And she's, you know, more on the technological side of it. She's like, that's so cool. And then it just, the deer screams.
Yeah.
And then it just goes, drop with the State of Decay 3 logo. And we both go, holy shit!
Now, is this a thing of you guys liking, like, being big fans of the State of the K franchise, or was it just like this trailer was like the thing that said, oh yes, I'm in?
We are huge fans of State of Decay. I put hundreds of hours into State of Decay 1. I put a shit ton of time in State of Decay 2. She still plays State of Decay 2 regularly. I wish I had time to do that.
What would you recommend to a person who owns both but never made time to start either, but likes them?
I would say just go ahead and start with... On Game Pass right now, you can get State of Decay 2's Juggernaut Edition. And I would just say jump into the Juggernaut Edition and go from there. Because they've done so many upgrades and stuff. It breaks my heart. I don't have more time for it right now, because I would lose months playing State of Decay 2 now that they've done all these upgrades and stuff too. But I was just absolutely flabbergasted by the mere existence of this trailer. I was not expecting it. I didn't have any inclination it was coming. I like to think I'm on the up and up when it comes to State of Decay, and then it was just like, it just threw into our laps, and we both lost our minds.
That's probably what they were thinking when they put it on. It was like, I bet there's this people out there. I think they're on the up and up when it comes to State of Decay. We'll show them all!
No idea. And it just... It's so badass, and it's so cool, and it's so much more than what I could have even begged for. Even just this little bit of detail, I'm like, I don't even need anything else. I'm in, I'm here, whatever it is, give it to me.
They released the game, it's like, there is one settlement, and you can explore 3 houses.
I'd be like, fuck yeah, it's fine. Give me the zombie deer. That motherfucker. That fucking zombie deer was eating that motherfucking wolf, and I'm like, yes!
It brought a visceral edge she didn't know she had.
Speaking of eating, Adam, you mentioned that you had to eat. Did you want to get going? I feel bad that
I'm going to have to roll. Yeah, I got to make some dinner for
thanks for joining my wife.
Are you going to eat zombie deer?
We're going to eat some zombie deer. Yeah, nice. I actually got a recipe for it, and they're pretty common out here in Montana, where I live now.
I recommend putting fugu? It in the instant pot.
It's a lot like fugu. You got to make sure to eat around the zombie liver. Almost every other, it's a common misconception that like any part of the zombie will turn you into a zombie. It's really just the liver and lymph nodes and lungs and intestines and heart and spleen.
There's a very small part of the zombie deer that won't corrupt you and zombify you and your family.
Yes. Yes. So, I mean, like, roadkill's a staple food for my people in the mountains here. So,
Cole, you can sympathize with that, right?
Yeah, I can. That's what I was saying. Put it in the Instant Pot an hour, you'll be good.
Jeez.
Anyway, so this is the big 600, huh? Is there like a birthday song for 600 or something like that?
No, we just have the intro from George.
Aging, it's kind of old. It's old.
Shouldn't enough. Like make up like you know the S in SML. It stands for 600 more long episodes. That's your song.
Nice. Yeah, we had our song for 500, and then I think we're gonna try getting George to do one for 666 as well.
Oh,
we're gonna record that whole episode backward.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to have me for that one then.
Sounds good.
I'll see you in like, what, 4 days?
Yeah. Basically. Talk to you next week, Adam.
Yeah. All right, kids.
Later, Adam.
Thank you for being here. You have yourself a wonderful night. Do you have any final words before you hang up on us and run away forever?
Run away forever? No, you're going to see plenty of me. Don't worry, buddy. I'm working on something. I am. But it hasn't happened yet. But I will show you when the time comes.
Sounds good.
His name is not Adam Groupon.
No, it's not. It's not Adam Groupon. It's not Adam Poupon. It is Adam Ripon, but I'm not that guy.
Yeah, you are.
I am. It's true. I actually am. You can tell by my amazing eyebrows.
This is my guy.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Have a good one, Adam.
Yeah.
You too. Bye.
Oh, my Lord. All right. After that, they had a trailer for Forza Motorsport. They confirmed that a new Forza Motorsport is happening. It doesn't have a number after it.
Shocker. Oh, yeah.
All they said was that all the footage was captured in-engine. It looked insane. Holy shit.
What the hell happened there?
Was that some effects or a really vocal burp?
Forza.
Wet pavement. Wet pavement.
Jesus Christ! Who opened the seventh gate over there? Satan's left nutsack is talking to us. And it's got a lot to say. Jesus.
Oh my God.
Forza is awesome.
So fun and love Forza.
Brandon's breaking us. Brandon's breaking us. Oh my God.
Shiny.
I need to find something that could do that to my voice during the show.
People pay money for that effect, and you're just belting this shit out.
You just need to play more Forza.
is that what does it? Does
Forza come to it? Free
it's all the weather.
That's the reason I sound this way. I don't play enough Forza.
It's like your first time play. It's like, oh, this is a great game. I can't wait to start my engines. And like the 5 minutes, I was like, start. Begin the ritual.
Oh, man. So anyway, after that,
Forza looked great next.
Forza looked amazing.
Next Hellspawn game.
Yeah, next Hellspawn game. After that, they hit kind of what I think is a lull in the presentation where they just kind of aired trailers for stuff we already knew about. Like they showed a new trailer for Everwild from Rare and extended.
Hold up, though. I am 110% psyched for Everwild.
Oh yeah, it looked great.
I want to know because Cole clearly knows the most about this. Cole, I want to ask you a question about Everwild. Uh-huh. Is this a Is this a conflict? Is this a conflictless game? Is this sort of like a kickback and explore and make the world better? Do you think there's some sort of, do you think it's like a, because they don't seem to be painting any picture of conflict in this game. I
don't think it's necessarily that it's going to be conflictless or conflict free. But I think that the conflict will probably come more as like you're using magic and it's not going to be like gore and things of that regard.
I just
feel so, like there will be like potions or spells and like, you know, things of that nature.
I just don't want them to like make a 180 and all of a sudden you're actually killing a bunch of shit to protect the animals.
Yeah. I don't think that's the path that it's taking because it looks seems neat. Like everything is very mystical and very much centered around, if I'm not mistaken, the main character's name is Eternal.
Oh.
If I heard that correctly, I wasn't sure if it was Eterna or Eternal, but her accent was kind of hard to pinpoint. It seemed very much like it's focused on her basically, but it does seem like there's going to be a co-op element to it because they weigh very they lean very heavy into showing four characters in a lot of the cinematics for Everwild. So I'm pretty convinced that there's going to be like a co-op mechanic. If you heard me speak about Drake Hollow recently and how it was very much like build up and protect the animals, I'm expecting it to kind of veer into that same territory, but without the combat aspect and leaning more into like healing the animals, healing the planet, healing the environment. And that's what I'm expecting from it.
Cool. It looks neat.
Yeah.
It does look neat. After that, they showed an extended trailer for Tell Me Why, the new game from Don't Nod.
Tell Me Why.
Why someone went there. Tell me why.
I think we all instantly went there.
Yeah.
It was just who was willing to actually express it out loud.
Oh, I'm there for you.
Yeah.
They said chapter 1 is releasing August 27th, so the first chapter is right around the corner.
I'm curious about something because when they initially announced Tell Me Why, they said all chapters would release at the same time.
Did they?
Yeah.
They fooled you.
And now they said chapter 1. And I'm like, does that mean that we're going to get them in fairly rapid succession, but not all on the same day? They were very adamant. They were like, it's not going to be a year and a half like Life is Strange 2 was. So,
well, I guess we'll find out in due time. Yeah. But
either way, we're stoked about it. Number 1 and I love Don't Nod. We're hyped. We're looking forward to it. We're glad to have a date to look forward to.
Interestingly,
now.
The developer has a FAQ up on their website because one of the main characters in this game is trans.
Yes.
So they have a bunch of questions about, like, how is this character treated? Are they dead named? Like, there is a character who is gay. Like, are they harassed for it? Like, what is the native representation of this game? Because it takes place in Alaska. Like, with spoilers to the story. Like, wow. If you're concerned to know about these things. Yeah, I think it's really interesting. Really
cool. I think it's important, though, that they do that. Because those are things that people deal with and struggle with. And the way that we see that handled in games is often through a little bit more of an insensitive lens.
No.
So to see them... To see them be proactive about it, that's good.
Yeah, because most games, they just, like, are more reactive. Like, they put the stuff out there, and then people are like, well, this, you know, then it comes out. But, yeah.
Don't Nod doesn't fuck around, either. They do a fantastic job of telling telling stories that you can genuinely relate to.
What is this Don't Nod? Like, give me more on the Don't Nod in those spectrum. Like,
Don't Nod Entertainment is the game studio behind Life is Strange.
Okay, yeah, Life is Strange is great stuff.
There you go. This is their new game, and it is releasing August 27th, the episode 1.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Vertically like Impaired coming in with his 29th month subscription.
Oh, man, my God.
Thank you, Tony. Always appreciated you.
Give him some George.
Yeah, well,
fucking
no.
Yeah! No,
we give
George.
Him Purnell.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we give him the Purnell.
Fucking yeah! Right,
I like that. Give him all the Purnell.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah! Fucking yeah!
You'll hear it. If you listen to the episode, you'll hear it.
Fucking yeah!
I will. And I'm like, wait, I said that. Or did I?
No, you
he's got
didn't.
A Purnell clone in the basement.
Yeah.
I, human, you are, just say the damn lie.
Fucking yeah. Anyway, Moon Studios confirmed that they're going to be bringing Ori and the Will of the Wisps to the Series X with improved animations and visuals. It will, of course, have smart delivery, so if you already own the game, you get the prettier version for free.
Yeah, it's smart on Game Pass delivery? Already.
So. Yeah, it's on Game Pass, so.
That's pretty incredible, actually.
Smart delivery is the you buy if you own it right now on Xbox One, then you automatically own the Series X version.
Yep.
Oh, okay. And I think all these games have that feature. So,
like Ori at 120 frames on a monitor that can support it.
Already,
it's so like, have you ever seen a phone that runs 120 frames? Have you ever seen 120 frames on an actual monitor that? High refresh rate. No.
It's crazy. I'm pretty sure that my brain can't process 120 frames.
I know. I don't know like where the line is there, but you can like on they start making phones that are 90 and 120, and I don't know, the 90 to 120 line is kind of thin, I think, but you can. It looks like moving something physically. Your phone screen. It's very weird to describe, but Ori would just be breathtaking like that. So I don't know. I gotta find it somewhere. I don't have a high refresh rate screen. Or a Xbox Series X, or continue.
Oh man, I should play this monitor. This monitor in front of me is high for refresh rate, but I played it upstairs. Anyways.
Yeah, anyway. Outer Worlds Peril on Gorgon DLC. That is coming September 9th from Private Division and Obsidian Entertainment. So some new DLC for the Outer Worlds for fans of that game. New trailer for Grounded, also from Obsidian Entertainment, that is releasing July 28th on Xbox Game Preview. So that is literally
is that the right Honey I Shrunk the Kids game?
Yep.
Okay, just checking. It's like multiplayer Honey I Shrunk the Kids. You're in the fucking backyard and you're tiny and you're building forts and fighting off, you know, insects.
Yeah, the beta that they had a couple of weeks ago apparently got really, really high praise from everyone who played it.
Is it Horde mode?
If you don't mind me backing us up a little bit, Raider Biz linked to the Tell Me Why Twitter, and it says Chapter 1, August 27th, Chapter 2, September 3rd, Chapter 3, September 10th. So, yeah, rapid succession.
Crazy.
So, with that. That's good.
They're fast.
That is good. All right. Obsidian wasn't done, though. They said that they know everyone is expecting a brand new RPG from them, and they did not disappoint. They announced a brand new game called Avowed. They claim this is Obsidian at their best, and the game is built ground up for the Series X. It is a first-person RPG, and that is all Skyrim. We know about it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
There is one other thing we know about it. And that it is set in the Pillars of Eternity universe.
Mm. Ooh, color me cool.
So,
I don't know.
That's a teaser of a tease right there. And I mean, you can extrapolate that it being built from ground up from Series X. And I think Microsoft said that their games for the next couple years, their first party stuff, was going to be still compatible with an Xbox One. So one could guess that this is quite a ways
off. Yeah,
this is quite a ways away.
It's happening. Not mind playing a first person.
I would not mind playing a first person Pillars of Eternity type game. That would be great.
I'm down for pretty much whatever Obsidian is doing now that they have the budget of Microsoft behind them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Money can make the magic happen.
It can.
After that, they showed a trailer for a game called As Dusk Falls, which they are labeling an original interactive drama. This one looked interesting. The visual style being like all stop animated looked really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was like kind of like it reminded me of, do you guys remember Scanner Darkly and that whole like rotoscoping painting over filmed stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of that. This was a little more still images that were animated, I think, but it had a really cool look. I just, maybe there's details somewhere about how it plays. I don't know if it's like a point and click thing, but it had a really cool look, I thought.
Remember that
announced trailer? So I guess it might not necessarily be gameplay. It could just be kind of the vibe of the game.
Goodbye Volcano High? Is that what it is? That PlayStation exclusive?
Yeah,
remember how I spent like 4 years bitching about the art for that?
Yeah.
I don't have those complaints with As Dusk Falls.
Well, it's completely different visual style.
I'm content. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, it's clearly digital art. It's clearly the digital painting. Not bitching about it. Let's go. I have nothing to complain about for 20 minutes. I'm on board. You get my digital artist stamp of approval. There are no animations. Let's go.
did they have a date for this one? Did anyone see a date for this one?
I don't think so. I'll double check, but I don't think
so. No, I'm kind of thumbing through the stories as we do this, and I'm not seeing anything. And there wasn't anything at the end of the trailer. So, no, nothing.
Oh, well. After that...
No, I was, because there was like a block of things packed together that I think they said were all like launch this year, but I don't think we're in that block yet.
Yeah, I don't know. But after that, they talked a little about Hellblade 2. They confirmed that it'll be set in Iceland. And then after that, they moved on to a trailer for Psychonauts 2.
Hang on, one note on that. I did notice that they didn't advertise that for Xbox One.
Which one? The Hellblade?
The new Hellblade. Yeah, it was only...
only Series X?
Only listed as Series X, so that might be a while out as well.
Maybe.
Sadly.
Yeah. Like
multiple fucking levels. Because that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Sounds like somebody's buying a Series X.
Every time I see something... Every time I see something about Hellblade, I'm sad because then I remember it's not even close.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just need Hellblade, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
They're
doing, like, that multiplayer game for the near future and not Hellblade, which is a bummer.
Bleeding Edge. Did anyone play Bleeding Edge?
I never heard of it till now.
Yeah. I don't think
I played it.
It's on Game Pass.
Oh, that's what it's called. Oh, okay. Oh, it's out. It's fucking out. Never.
It's been out. It didn't do well. Bleeding Edge is what Ninja Theory was working on when Xbox bought them, and they just paid them to go ahead and finish it off.
Yeah, they're like,
they basically threw money at them to get it out of the way so they could throw more money at them for Hopefully 2.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, which is not a bad thing. Just they were like, oh, you're taking your time on this? No, we're going to get this out of here.
Like, we know what we're paying you for. Get this thing out of the way. You like it? Is it fun to you? Here's some money. Just build it. It work
really more. Worked out in the end for Ninja Theory on that exchange.
Yeah, probably.
So, you all know, I think you probably know this, but the actress in that was just worked for the company and she was a stand-in.
Yep.
And then... she was so good. They're like, you're not a standard anymore.
Yeah.
I just think that's fantastic. I love it. Good story.
If she killed it. She is fantastic.
Like, you are now a professional.
Someone who casts people off the street into movies, I can tell you that the average person has more acting ability than they probably think they do.
It's like the flaming, hot story.
Right, if put into the right situation, in the right character, like, they can go.
I do like hearing something like how I heard, like, you heard about what happened with the Flaming Hot Cheetos thing, right? How that came to be.
I don't know that.
I mean, this might be me screwing up the story immensely, but apparently the actual Flaming Hot formula that's in, like, all their stuff now was brought to the company by one of their janitors.
Huh.
And, like, it was like one of those things where, like, he, like, brought in some food that he made at home, and they liked it so much. Like, what the hell is this? It's like, oh, yeah, this is my recipe. Gave the recipe, like, hey, how about this? You are now a big shot here because you're going to start making a lot of money because we're going to put this shit on everything. And they did.
At least he got paid.
No.
And, oh, yeah.
And they did. Oh, man. Anyway, back to the show. Psychonauts 2 trailer. This looks really, really good.
It does look really good.
I don't want to say that it's a bummer that it's not an exclusive, but for an Xbox show, it's a bummer that it's not an exclusive.
Well, I mean, it existed. They said that when they bought Double Fine because it was already in development, so.
Yeah. And I don't care where it goes. I just wanted to go there so I could play the damn thing. I want it.
If they're supported, if they're supported by Microsoft, if they're extra supported and could do what they want with this game, if Microsoft helped them get to the finish line and it comes out on PC, that's great. Like,
it is.
Thanks, Microsoft. It's coming out on, like, everything.
Yeah, it'll be on. It'll be on. Nice. But that thing that we always promote, Game Pass. Jesus Christ. Yeah, it'll be on Game Pass.
Game Boy.
Game Boy. Boy. It'll be on Game Boy Advance.
Game Boy Psychonauts. I've been waiting.
Finally. I've been waiting since 1989.
Some of my favorite. Traveler.
I was going to say, speaking of Game Boys, is anybody a psychopath like me going to try to pre-order an Analog Pocket next week?
What is that?
What?
You know Analog, the company that makes the Super NT and the NT Mini and the Mega NT? Yeah. Those hardware-based, new Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega things. They have a portable system that is believed to be going on pre-order next Monday, which will be able to play, the Game Boy suite of games, but will also have cartridge adapters for Neo Geo Pocket and Game Gear and Lynx.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And it has a synthesizer built into it.
Of course it does.
It just seems like it's really cool.
I'm going to be keeping my eye on that then.
Yeah, I'm fascinated with that. And also, you haven't lived until you've seen how ugly Lynx games are on a television.
Oh, on a television? Boy,
yes, the biggest, okay. Fattest pixels you've ever seen in your life.
I have played. My uncle had Lynx when I was young. So,
man.
I'm not unfamiliar with that thing. Get some Gates of Zendikon going on in here.
Oh, boy.
I tell you, boy, I had a Game Boy, couldn't afford any other consoles on any other handheld consoles. And I kind of feel like I made out okay there, just by virtue of it. Like, nowadays, you might be like, crap, I can only afford one of the three consoles. What do I get? Ooh. Back then, it was like, you only afford a Game Boy. And these other competitions, people are telling me, Game Gear's great. Look at this fuck. I'm like, no, I don't want
it. Nobody said that. Come on, Pernell.
I seriously had a friend who was up his ass trying to claim that the Game Gear was like the best damn machine.
Okay,
like,
he was up his drunk. Ass now.
That's because it's the one he had. That's how it's like the most baby console world or ever, you know.
I think parents. Oh, sorry. Good.
No, I was making a joke.
I was gonna say, I think that parents like instill that like some kind of propaganda. The more expensive the video game system is they bought for their kid, the more they're like, "This is the best system," you know, like telling them it's the best system and the most valuable and blah 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 blah, so that the kid will like not break it within a week.
True. True.
They take it to school. You don't got nothing. You got a black and white console. My game machine's the best. Look at this.
My Tiger Electronics Double Dragon is better than your freaking.
You had Double Dragon. I had Swamp Thing.
Swamp? And Mega Man 2?
There was a Swamp Thing for the.
I swear. I'm going.
Oh my god.
Like, literally, anytime someone tried to have the audacity to look me square in the eye and claim like a Tiger Electronics game was the shit, I just kind of wanted to spit on him. What the fuck are you on?
You fucking piece of shit. You piece of how dare you say that Tiger
dare you
Tiger handheld is good.
My presence with a Tiger handheld.
Oh, there's one right now for, God, it's a little expensive. But
the best thing about Tiger games was that they would have the commercials and they'd pay these kids to, like, they're having so much fun. And the announcer's like trying to make it sound exciting, like, get off.
You know, that's how all commercials work for now.
Yeah, but a lot of times commercials did it in a way where, like, I like what I'm seeing here. But with Tiger Games, you were watching it and you knew you weren't looking at anything that was fun. But the guy was still trying to sell that shit. Like, oh man, like they would talk about Sonic the Hedgehog, like Sonic the Hedgehog with Tiger Electronic, find all 8 golden rings and stop Robotnik. It was like, nothing's happening here. This is
for now. Pernell, let me do an SML throwback and tell you, my friend, about the R Zone.
What? Like Toys R Us?
That's like a double digits SML reference. But there was one episode I was on where we talked about the R Zone for a very long time. That was the Tiger Electronics video game that you strapped to your head.
Oh my goodness!
And it had this one little red screen that came down over your left eye. And that's how you had to play a game. And they actually had a port of Panzer Dragoon on it.
Oh my gosh.
Hell on earth.
Yeah, I know. It was bad. It was so bad.
I bet the commercial for this like kid off in like a weird cyber future putting on this helmet and like lightning struck.
Oh yeah, have you seen the commercial?
It probably is what it was. I just made that shit up. But I
dropped it.
Oh, there's a commercial. I'm dropping it in chat right now.
Oh my god. No. Like, the future of gaming is here.
Right, well, while you guys check out
gameplay. Anyways,
while you guys check out the commercial, we have to talk more about the show. We've been going an hour and a half now.
You asked almost for this, Joe. You know
I did. I did. I knew when Pernell was here, this was going to happen.
You knew it. King of Tangents, baby.
Destiny 2 and all current expansions are coming to Game Pass in September, and the game is getting a Series X version. Even better, Destiny 2 Beyond Light, the new expansion releasing November 10th, is launching direct to Game Pass.
Are they going to try, are they shooting to break a record for a game that lasted, like, just as an online? Because it's not an MMO per se, right? But it's near about that. I don't know what that means.
It's Destiny. It is, while it's what Halo Infinite looks like it's going to be like, but yeah, I mean, it's like free to play on PC, so
it is on Xbox as well. It's just that
the
big deal is that the DLC is all coming together.
Yeah, and they're
the expansions
and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I think they do that when they're about to roll over the. When the new expansion comes out anyway, I think the old stuff just comes free and they're taking some stuff out of the game. I don't know. Destiny is a
the only
complicated
the only thing. Ones that are free are the first two. And like all the more recent ones that have come out are not free and no intentions of going free. Like you could still throw $120 and be missing shit.
Like you don't remember when Destiny
But then once Beyond Light out, comes out that changes.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about them going free, but...
That's kind of their cadence. That's what they've done the past couple years, I believe.
Okay.
Who knows? But they're going to Game Pass, so that's what matters.
They should have let off the show with this, like how
including
Sony
the brand new
GTA
one.
GTA 5. Like, we got to talk about the old stuff first, right? Come on, guys. Start off with a bang. Destiny 2.
Well, then...
And that's going to be on xCloud, because obviously that's already been optimized
so
for
streaming.
So
you will be able to play it on mobile as well.
Yeah.
With all the DLC.
Yeah, after that, they went into a whole bunch of games that are going to be console launch exclusives.
There we go.
They led off with Stalker 2, which is interesting. The
you
original
let that guy
Stalker.
Out of jail?
Sure. Stalker. Oh, my.
I was going to say, is it a like grocery store simulator?
Oh, Grant has to go. Grant, why don't you just say it in chat?
Stalker.
I did.
Stalker.
He just didn't say it out loud in the
just
other
say
chat.
Out loud to
us. Oh, in the Twitch chat?
No, oh. Just talk to us, Grant.
Oh, I'm just letting you know. I'm
We're here for you,
talking
Grant.
About Stalker.
I just made me realize. I'm like, Chris, you said that as a joke, but I have this odd feeling that a Stalker game would actually be somewhat therapeutic almost. Like it would be a cathartic little release of a game. You sit there, stock grocery store shelves.
I mean, they do have that warehouse simulator game.
Oh,
Wilmot's Warehouse.
I thought you were talking about therapeutically, like stalking women. I didn't hear you say stalk.
Oh, God damn!
Now, what is wrong with you? Did you see the trailer for that Gamer Girl game earlier this week? My God,
it's like Pernell. It's like I've known you for like damn near 20 years. I'm going to forget all that.
Right. I like how Grant's trying to leave, and you guys are going into tangents on stalking grocery shelves.
I'm patient. I like hearing about stalking grocery shelves.
Stalking
across the street with the binoculars.
Stalking. Now the goal is to just never let Grant leave. We got to go off on tangents forever, man.
We'll just keep going through these, and Grant will be like, Grant's too nice to interrupt and be like, no, guys, I really have to go. So I'll just keep going down what was announced during the show.
I'll just disappear and come back at the end, and y'all won't even know I was. Give me one more game.
I especially like that part.
Give me a big one, Joe. I want a big. Give me the hot drop.
The hot drop. The next hot drop. Warhammer 40K Dark Tide
from Fat Shark.
Left for Dizzle, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it Left for Dead? Yep.
It looks like it. Coming 2021, coming to Game Pass, console launch exclusive, so it'll be first on Xbox Series X. I'm sure it'll show up on other platforms eventually as well, because it's a Warhammer game, and they always do.
Yeah.
Love it. Yep. I'll buy it. Love y'all.
Love Joe. You too, Grant.
Happy 600.
Bye, Grant. Boom. Bye, boom. I love you.
Y'all take care.
Bye, Grant.
Good night.
Good evening.
Oh, man. After that, Tetris Effect Connected. Tetris Effect is finally making the jump over to Xbox. Console launch exclusive in terms of the whole online play. I'm not a fan of them gating an online update to being an exclusive, but
yeah, that's not coming to PS4 until like next year or some shit.
I don't understand why they would do that, but
I think that's kind of garbo right there. Also, this game, put it on Switch. not that I don't already have a great Tetris game on there, but
yeah, as long as fucking we're finally getting a good Tetris game on Xbox, yeah. So
I'm so excited to have a good Tetris on Xbox.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I saw that and I'm just like, fuck yes, Tetris, thank you.
Wait, was Tetris Effect not on the Xbox?
No, Tetris Effect is PS4 only.
Yeah, and it's on Epic Game Store.
The PC doesn't count when we talk this shit.
We talk loss of words.
Everything is on PC, so
yeah. It took a while.
Gunk,
the gunk
from Image Inform, the SteamWorld creators, Smart Delivery, Game Pass, console launch exclusive. This one looks really cool. It makes me wish that they would just give us SteamWorld Heist on Xbox already.
I don't know anything about SteamWorld. I am very excited for the Gunk. So.
Well, the Dig games are very good, and their other games are pretty good. But the Gunk looks like it could also be pretty good.
I have hopes for it, because like, I've never played a SteamWorld game I did not like.
Okay.
Well, yeah, SteamWorld's pretty solid.
Concerned before that sentence ended. I was like, what do you mean you've never played one?
What kind of man are you?
Yeah. All right. Anyways.
Cole, I'm sure you got excited because next up was some stuff on the Medium. Yes. They showed off. This is going to have two worlds rendered simultaneously where they will have dual world gameplay.
Here's my response when the Medium popped up. Sweet baby Bloober team can do no wrong. Okay?
I don't know who that is, but I like them now.
Layers of Fear, Layers of Fear 2, Observer, and Blair Witch.
I've never played any of those, but are they
what that the fuck like, is wrong with you, Pernell? How do you call yourself drinking. A gamer?
I haven't played any of them either.
You guys are fired.
I don't know, not stuff I'm interested in.
Boom, shakalaka!
No, honestly, you need new friends.
My problem, it's going to sound harsh, but I'm not lying when I say this. Whenever I originally heard of Layers of Fear, I perceived it as being like one of those like $5 like quick scare games you see on Steam, so I didn't give it a chance.
That's true. Yeah.
You say you're sorry.
I can't. You're teaching us now. I'm literally learning about how like apparently this is like a fantastic franchise right now from you.
You sit down and you say, I have made mistakes in my gaming career.
I might play the game because of you and then go, no, I was right. So no, I can't say that just yet.
Layers of Fear is one of my absolute most favorite games of all time. Not even just favorite horror games, but favorite games of all time.
Now, it's a full on, it's like one of those games, like a first person, a third person.
It is first person.
All right. Is there a lot of freaky deaky spooky oogie going on?
Yes. It is a psychological horror about a painter trying to create their magnum opus. Mm-hmm. And the more you paint, the more insane you go. Ooh. And the more the world changes to match your insanity.
Now, are there like other characters that he interacts with?
Nope.
Where it's like
it's just all you.
That might be something up my alley, because there was that one movie that I saw that a lot of people didn't like. It was called Room 13 or something like that, where it was all about the one guy in that one hotel room losing his shit. Mm-hmm. And I loved that film, despite the fact that it was pretty much just him and hallucinations the whole movie.
Yeah, Layers of Fear is absolutely fantastic. Layers of Fear 2 is fantastic. Blair Witch was wonderful. It was incredibly well done. Observer was more of that cyberpunk-y psychological horror. It relied more on just fucking with your brain than actually scaring you. So, like, there weren't the same kind of, like, excuse me, Layers of Fear, because it's all about you and just madness, it relied more on traditional scare tactics, where Observer is just like, this is just going to fuck your brain. Blair Witch kind of merged both of those. And it looks very much like the medium is going to follow in that same merging of, we're going to both fuck you visually and mentally. And I am 100% on it. Okay.
So about layers of fear.
For a half a second.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Silent Hill game 2, and then it turned out to be the medium. I thought it looked really cool, though. I am definitely excited to see more about this game.
It might be using some kind of fast-loading hard drive technology if it's rendering two worlds at the same time.
Yeah, some snazzy new technology. Yeah.
I will say that was probably the first game I'd come across that made me go, I think I would, as long as the game turns out well as the final product, I'd probably buy the system for that. Because like it looked... I like the idea of like just the concept of mediums in general, and the way they depicted the way the game would actually, you know, express the horrors that character would see. It looks like the kind of game that I've been looking to play for a long time, because I've been out of the horror game for a bit, not because I don't like it anymore, but because nothing's really hitting me where I want to jump on board.
Oh, Akira Yamaoka is literally on the soundtrack, so.
Well then, fuck.
I like that guy.
You better
some tunes.
Yeah, I better. I've played for him before.
Doubly cool. Better. Well, where'd you play for him? These are tangents.
There was a show in Houston where Gimmick was asked to be his backing band, and we played awesome. It. Yeah, he's a very nice man, and his songs are great. Nice. They're very easy on bass, so.
Like, sucks to be you guys. I'm just going to twang over here and get my kudos.
It bass very much just holds the songs down in his oeuvre. So I was fine with that. I was obedient.
I complied with his demands.
I did. I respected the arrangements.
That's good.
Yeah.
Also good, they showed a trailer for a new game. I couldn't tell if this is a new game, if it's an expansion. It's called New Genesis Phantasy Star Online 2. They say it's going to be a console launch exclusive from Sega. This looks like a new game to me. Like, the engine looked a lot different.
Let me tell you something, brother. Considered a complete, from the ground up, overhaul of Sega's original Phantasy Star Online 2 with a new engine, new visuals, gameplay mechanics, and much more. Redesign. So, yeah. I don't know. It might be kind of like Destiny 2, or a rebirth of it. Per se.
Well, I'm excited to see more because they had some big ass boss battles in there and it looked pretty interesting.
I might have to actually try that series out. I love Phantasy Star, but I never played the online ones because I just never had the stuff
online
for it.
Back when the Dreamcast was out, that was a freaking phenomenon right there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I have friends who freaking bailed out of college because of that game.
Yeah, like, I'm always afraid of that. That's why I don't play Elder Scrolls Online.
I still have I have the Ethernet adapter for the GameCube because of that game.
Nice.
Not because I played it, but there was an exploit you could use where you could hack it to point to a custom server and freeload software on your GameCube.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
So you're the reason the system died.
No, absolutely not. It was super complicated. You had to have your fucking GameCube tethered to your PC, and it didn't work great. But it was neat. It was a neat... I don't know. I'm... Yeah. It was a fascinating way to pirate stuff that I did not,
It is actually pretty cool.
That I did not use to replace purchasing games.
Oh, I don't care. I really
no,
don't
no,
care.
I know. I just like to be clear for the
yeah. Mind. I'm being silly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. No.
Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Oh God.
I'm more interested by the mechanics of it than actually doing it. Sorry, Joe.
You guys. Sorry. You guys
you
are
can
just
finish the
like,
sentence now.
We're so close to the end of this press conference.
I know we are.
Because next
so
up they showed
about privacy.
Listen, Purnell, listen. Son of a bitch, you. They showed a new trailer for Crossfire X. They again reiterated that it is a console launch exclusive coming from Smilegate and Remedy. I noticed in the fine print, I think it said the single player campaign is not a part of Game Pass.
Correct. Well, at least they said that the multiplayer will be on Game Pass, so that led me to believe that there was a single player portion that was not.
Yeah. I guess they just feel like you'll ultimately get caught up in it, huh? And then you'll just go out and buy the single player mode.
Maybe.
That's their idea. Yeah.
After that, they confirmed Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Sea of Thieves are all getting Series X upgrades. Forza Horizon 4 on the Series X looked bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
And the game already looks bonkers.
I just hope they add some game to Sea of Thieves. I'll be glad.
Oh, they've been adding a lot of game to Sea of Thieves. Where have you been?
No, I'm not. I'm joking, but also not quite joking when I say it, because like I have some friends who are like big into Sea of Thieves. They were anxious for what the product was going to be. So when the game came out, we all got on there, we were playing it together, and they were excited about, you know, got my ship, we're going to hit some islands, and I'm like, where's the game? What am I doing? Like, why do I want to do these things?
There's been like seven giant expansions.
Let me go down the line, Cole!
But you're tangenting.
So, eventually, I kind of stepped back, but they kept playing it, so what would happen is, every time a new announcement would come up, that one of those friends would message me, like, they're adding some stuff for now. This might be your thing. I'm like, let me see. And it ends up being like, yo, ho, ho, here's a new gurney and a hurdy-gurdy and some new parrot. So it's usually they add a few things that will get you kind of perked up and anxious, but it's usually more stuff for people who already liked the original, mechanics. It's just they expanded on those mechanics. But
ghost ships and megalodons and the kraken and the raids and
I will ask this because this wasn't confirmed by anybody I knew. Did they ever do anything more with the kraken? Because I remember the issue with the kraken was that he existed, but you only ever saw his tentacles, ever.
But that's the point of the kraken. It's so big that you can't see it at all. It just gets you.
You can't see this.
The water turns black and they've added so much other stuff beyond just the Kraken, though. The Kraken, I get it in the beginning when the Kraken was the only thing you had to look forward to, but now there's me and Studo were playing the other day and we were just going out to fish, and then all of a sudden a ghost ship comes out of the water and starts attacking us. And we're like, we're just fucking fishing!
You're stealing our ghost fish.
And then the ghost ship attacked us, and we fought the ghost ship off, and then we're like, oh fuck, we fought off a ghost ship. And then, we're in the water retrieving the shit from our ghost ship, and then a fucking megalodon comes up and starts chasing us, and we're like, we just want our shit, leave us alone!
We just want a fish!
I was just trying to fish the whole fucking time! So, I mean... I don't get people's argument that there's nothing there, because the whole time every time me and Stu to play, we're just like, all we want to do is fish, leave us alone, and it's constant stuff.
That should be the name of this episode. I just want to fish.
I just want to fucking fish, and then I'm gonna go play a dovetail game.
Name of this episode is just episode 600. That's what it is for all the 100 episodes.
Oh,
just episode 600.
601 should be a retroactive. I just want to fish, damn it.
Just wanted to fish.
Oh my god. I just want to finish this this news. That's what I want to do.
I'll go to bed.
Last bit that they showed from the press conference was they finally confirmed the worst kept secret in gaming history. Yeah, Playground Games is working on Fable.
My god. Yay. Finally, you did it.
It looked great though.
They didn't show fucking anything about
him. No. I know they didn't, but I mean,
a just fairy ate a frog. Ate a fairy.
It was. I like the way that they showed it. Is what I'm trying to say. The trailer was great. I was happy. D loves Fable. Yeah, it's one of his favorite series, and so I was just like, yeah, he's gonna be happy with this.
When did Fable 2 originally come out?
Fable 2. That was 2007, 2008.
Was there a Fable after that?
Fable 3.
Yeah.
I thought this was Fable 3.
No.
No.
See, the life is...
Pernell, you're bad at this.
No, that's a different game.
I'm not. I'm not bad.
By Don't Nod, another studio you don't know.
Hey,
it's,
you.
It's Fable 2-3.
Oh, it's 2-3. Now I'm on board.
Yeah, yeah.
The magic happened.
Anyway,
don't worry about it. It's not pixel art. You gotta pay attention.
Yeah,
that's not true. That is not true.
Shut the fuck up. Anyway, it wasn't all Xbox news. There was a couple of other small, tiny things that we could go over real quick. World War Z is getting full cross play and cross invites this week. The World War Z fans have that to look forward to. Descenders will be hitting the PS4 August 25th physically and digitally. It will also be hitting the Switch later on this fall, so Descenders fans have that to look forward to.
Okay.
Rocket League is going free to play later this summer.
Yeah.
So if you,
I have mixed feelings about this.
In what way?
I don't care that it's free to play, because it's been free on PlayStation. It's been on Game Pass. So, I mean, I don't care that it's going free to play in any way, shape, or form. I do have some questions from, like, how they're going to merge the accounts. Because now they're doing cross progression. And I only care about this because on the Xbox, I've had every fucking season pass. And I've maxed them all out. And my account is level 840.
Which is high.
And I care about that because I just got the game on Steam a month ago. And my account's only like level 40. And I don't got shit. And I will be very, very pissed if they go, Steam count takes precedence. Which would be stupid because they're getting rid of the Steam anyway. Excuse me, I have the hiccups. But I would be very pissed if it's like your Steam account took precedence and your Xbox account is now garbage pants.
I doubt that'll happen.
But what happened to all my good shit? You know, and then I would be very disappointed. I would like when they do these announcements for shit like this, I wish they would go ahead and be like, here's how we're gonna handle your shit. Because I don't like to be left in limbo wondering how you're gonna handle my shit. That's all I wanna know.
No.
And being they left in limbo. Resolved that yet.
They God, probably haven't resolved that yet.
Yeah, I don't want to be left in limbo knowing. This was just making me think about them trying to open schools for this fall.
Oh, God. Okay. I'm in limbo and there, too.
I don't want to get into that again.
Yeah, my brain can't comprehend the amount of fucking with my shit that everybody else is doing with me right now.
Oh, my God. Anyways, news.
Yeah, anyway, last bit of news I have is that they are going to have, there was a Nintendo Mini Direct. They unveiled a handful of tiny little things. Rogue Company is coming to the Switch with cross-play and cross-save. Wait,
did you say a tiny bunch of little things? Excuse me, sir?
I mean, there were only...
Downplaying their product.
There weren't many big things. Well, there weren't many things in the Direct. Okay,
you... Watch your
I'm not saying that the things announced in the Direct were tiny. It's just
that's kind of what I was hearing.
Tim's hip to you, sir.
They're just microscopic. They're meaningless. They're worthless. There's just nothing of value.
That's the Joey,
at all. What is Nintendo? Oh, gosh.
The Nintendo actually stands for Nintiny.
That's what she said.
WWE 2K Battlegrounds is going to be hitting the Switch September 18th, along with other platforms. Tim, do you have any excitement for Battlegrounds?
Oh, you know, compared to the WWE games that have been put out in recent years, it looked like it could be some arcadey fun. Fun being a key word when it comes to talking about WWE games, which... As far as I've heard, they have not been. So, you know, maybe.
So, maybe if it's fun, it'll actually be fun for once.
Yeah, maybe if it's not a glitchy pile of shit where they're trying to realistically recreate Triple H's hair and it's never gonna work. Yeah, it could be fun.
Yeah. They announced Shin Megami Tensei 3 okay. Nocturne yes. HD Remaster is coming spring 2021.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's nothing minuscule about that shit.
That is a big mm-hmm. deal.
What Remaster of Nocturne.
That's the deal.
Oh
that's
my God, let's all yell at Cole because she hasn't played an old game that's really good.
About time. You're fired, Cole.
We've had this discussion. I'm allowed to have this train of thought and not know what old games are because girls were told we weren't allowed to play games for so long. So oh, get fucked.
I'm allowed to not game. Have played Layers of Fear because I'm a man and I was told that I can't. I can't even finish it.
You can't even say it with a straight face.
Get I didn't play Layers of Fear because I'm a man.
Get they aren't allowed to play painting here. Games.
So anyway, Nocturne is an absolutely incredible game.
Yes. When that game got announced back in the day on PS2, I literally lost my shit because at that point, what was it, the only SMT game we had? The last one we got was Eternal Punishment. We barely got
them too. Yeah. It's a very good, it's, you know, if obviously people these days are very familiar with the Persona series, it is the progenitor of that. Like, that game came out on PS2, and then, like, kind of the floodgates started to open for the Mega 10 series to come over here, which is how we eventually got Persona 3 and 4 and 5, and, you know, that series became a big deal over here. But Nocturne is a phenomenal RPG with a great story and a great battle system.
And the music, oh god! And the
music is incredible. Like it is really, really very good. So it's awesome that it's getting a re-release on modern platforms. It's not just Switch. It's on everything.
Is it?
I will be buying. Or, yes.
Well, except for the Xbox, where you don't get JRPGs ever.
Yeah. Hey, we're getting Dragon Quest.
He's like, thank you. I'm waiting for that. I was yes. like, oh, well, actually,
wow,
Dragon Quest. Actually.
But also in addition,
but I will say, like, I'm actually SMT3 is a big and happy announcement for me, but I was more honestly ecstatic to see them push more towards 5 because in the SMT communities a lot of people are like, are they just forgetting about this fucking game? We haven't heard about it in like a year or two.
They showed new trailer for 5, which is also coming 2021.
That's a day fucking one drop for me. I am getting
That's kind of why I bought a Switch, was that game was coming to Switch. So
nice.
So I will say one thing I find hilarious about it is that, as you probably also know, Tim, is that a lot of people were first brought into the whole franchise because of the Persona series being 3, 4, and 5. So they're not the most familiar with Shin Megami Tensei mainline games.
Oh,
so
yeah, they're in for it.
So there were actually a couple people, whether it was like parody or truth, it's hard to tell these days, but they were like, I think this is related to Shin Megami Tensei. I think this is related to Persona in some way, because look, there's Lucifer, and Lucifer is the main character's final persona.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Like, no.
They're learning them some things.
Yeah, they are.
Gonna get learned.
Gonna get learned.
Last bit of news that happened from the mini direct is that Cadence of Hyrule is getting DLC. Have you guys seen this?
Yes. Hell yeah, I did. I saw my friend's name on a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, it is so cool to see our friends like on these directs and in these games.
This would be a rival's name specifically, as they're adding 39 new tracks to the game, which I'm assuming is 13 from him and Jules and Chipzel. Yeah.
All three of those artists make that totally worth the damn money.
Oh, like, yeah.
Freaking, yeah, and I only learned about Family Jewels because of Crypt of the Necro Dancer, which is even more aesthetic. Yes, more of this shit. But,
yeah, buddy. But yeah, Cadence of Hyrule getting a character pack that is available now with 5 new characters for $5.99. A melody pack with 39 new songs from Chipzol, Family Jewels, and A-Rival coming before the end of October for $5.99. And then Symphony of the Mask DLC, where you'll get to play as Skull Kid in a whole new story, coming before the end of October for $9.99. You could get a season pass for all of it for $14.99, get some bonus costumes, and then there's going to be a retail release of the game with all the DLC October 23rd for $39.99.
That's the one that's kicking me in the took. I'm like, shit, I don't know if I want to do that now because I already bought the digital baby.
Bought the digital baby.
I did. And now I'm unsure how I feel about this. I'm like, I want it, but I don't want to double dip so much.
I would just double dip.
I don't know. Yeah,
I was thinking about it, but I might behave.
I'm going to grab the season pass. I want to I need to hear the new music.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, I'll be getting that. No question.
Ditto. It was just a question of like, if I were actually going to let the double dip happen, I'd probably skip the season pass and just buy the cart. But I still think ultimately I might just stick with the digital for this and ride with it. But yeah. I'm ready for some Chipsel tunes and some family Julius and some A-Rival. Which, for the record, I originally learned about A-Rival because of that Mega Man Street Fighter game. And that put me on
him. You didn't meet him at MAGFest 2?
No. Well, if he was there, I didn't know him as A-Rival. That's for sure. He probably would have been like guy who tried to rig Street freaking Smash Bros. Tournament, but it wasn't. That was some other
guy. No, he was A-Rival. He performed.
No, he was A-E then still.
Oh, he was still A-E. My bad. My bust. Uh-huh.
See? Making me feel bad. I didn't know. I didn't know too.
Stop it.
But yeah, that is the news.
There is one other piece of news.
I was just about to say, is there anything anyone else wanted to talk about?
Yes, one thing. 15 seconds of trailer for a game called Bomb Rush Cyberfunk, which is just straight up, what is that, Reptile... Team Reptile, which is the team behind Lethal League and Lethal League Blaze, just fucking making Jet Set Radio. That is what is going on with that game.
I am curtailing my excitement just because I don't want to have Hover happen again. But
yeah, well,
I do hope for the best with this one, because if it does work, it's going to be a glorious purchase.
Yeah, they got Naganuma. I mean, it looks like, because Hover was more based on tricks, if I recall, and this has the whole police and spray painting, so they appear to not be messing around with this game, I would say.
Because Hover, I think, was like more like Future in that regard.
Yeah. Which,
Future is nice, but no, it wasn't what I wanted out of a Jet Set Revival, that's for damn sure. Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's only 15 seconds, Naganuma Jam, spray painting, which will get the federal authority sent after you, apparently, in this country nowadays.
Does it have a cop with a phallic gun or something like in Jet Set?
There was not a lot of emphasis on the cops, but I'm tentatively pretty excited about that game.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it works,
hey, worst case scenario, you get more Naganuma tracks.
True. Can't hate that.
That's pretty solid.
I'll get the Walker Stick on Wubba Chubba, Wubba Chubba all over again.
It's like, get Wubba Chubba. Get the Wubba Chubba. What?
That's right. I'm ready.
All right. Cool.
All right. Well, I guess we will let the three of you get going. We got some reviews to take care of, but thank y'all for being here.
Yeah, it was a blast.
I concur. Getting Joe frustrated with tangents. That's my jam.
Always good, you rat bastard.
That's right.
600 episodes in, and wouldn't have it any other way.
Hey, we're creeping up on 2 hours. I was trying to keep this kind of timely tonight, but
such a futile effort every single time. We want to keep this short, guys. So I want to talk about peanut butter and why it's not on more sandwich varieties.
All right, I'm just leaving now before you have a good night.
Have a good night. See you guys.
Bye.
Oh my God. Take care, everyone. Have yourselves a wonderful night. And, Cole, you're ready for some reviews.
Fuck it, I guess.
Fuck it, you guess.
Well, here we are. We've been doing this for 600 episodes.
Well, I've been doing it for 600
You have. Episodes. I'm pretending I have. I'm really only at like 380, I think it is. Yeah.
Something like that.
Somewhere. More than half.
Eh, good enough.
So I'm hanging in there. I've held out like 74 times as long as any other co-host.
True.
I'm killing it.
Everybody else has bailed on me, and you're still fucking dealing with me. So either I'm doing something right, or you're doing something really wrong.
Either way, we're ready to fucking go, and let's do 600 more.
All right. Well, first game to talk about tonight is called Rocket Arena, developed by Final Strike Games, published by Electronic Arts, released July 14th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC via Origin and Steam for $29.99. Rockets rule everything in Rocket Arena, an explosive 3v3 shooter where you're never out of the action. Master your hero's unique rockets and abilities to rule the arena and become a champion. Let's rocket. Cole, I hear you've had a rocky time with this game.
Incredibly so. So, I love shooters of every variety. I don't give a fuck. If you're gonna let me shoot shit, I'm happy as a pig and shit. Oddly enough, I'm one of those horrible people that in shooters likes to use explosives. So you would think Rocket Arena would be like a shoe-in for my new favorite game.
Yeah.
Except I can't even shoe it in to start playing on my Xbox.
Yeah, well, before we get into your issues with the game, we should probably talk about what the game is quick.
Right. So it's a multiplayer shooter, team-based 3v3, and everybody has rockets, and you shoot the fuck out of each other with rockets.
It's very Smash Brothers style in the way damage works, in that as you hit your opponents, they'll have a damage gauge that goes up, and once it gets maxed out, one more hit pretty much sends them flying out of the arena. And once you go flying out of the arena, it takes like 10 seconds for you to respawn, and then you're back in the action. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the twist on how damage works in the game, even though I get juggled like a motherfucker in this game.
See, that aspect of it is kind of hard for me to attach to, because I didn't play Smash. I've never played Smash. Mm. But I have played Rivals of Aether. And so I was thinking of it in like a Rivals of Aether kind of mashup, as like once you get knocked out to a certain extent, you're gone. So when I keep hearing you guys who have played Smash compared to Smash, I just blank over. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I never played Smash.
comparing it to Rivals is the same thing, because the higher your percentage, the further you go. Same in this game, the higher your damage gauge goes up, the further you're going to go flying.
And then the harder it becomes to recover until you eventually cannot. And then the whole time you're being hit with rockets. That's the important part.
Yeah.
There's rockets. I wanted to play it, and I wanted to fucking love it. Can I talk about now why I couldn't?
Yes.
Okay. I couldn't because the game launched, and you need to have an EA account to play. I am not a big fan of this setup. I think it adds an extra step for fuckery, but in most times, I just deal with it and don't say anything about it. Because it's just the way that a lot of AAAs and AAA publishers kind of roll right now. You need an account on their site to play a game. Fine. I had accepted it. I pushed the button to sign in, and it popped up with no information whatsoever beyond saying that I just flat out, my account was invalid. I don't know what the fuck is going on. I have an EA account. I use it on Origin all the time without issue. I even, after it popped up with the error, loaded up Origin on 3 different computers and signed in. Just like, nope, it's good. No, it's good. No, it's good. It's good. My account's good. Rocket Arena very much says my game is not good. My account is not good.
Yeah.
I
should know, I did not run into this issue. Carnage did not run into this issue.
A lot of people have not.
Yeah.
This seems to be something very specific to me. But then my thought was, okay, fine. If my EA account won't work, maybe my husband's will. And prior to even switching over to trying my husband's account, I had uninstalled the game, reinstalled it. I took it off the solid state drive. I put it on the internal. I even unplugged my solid state drive and other peripherals, because I have had games that I've played for review where something as simple as my wireless dongle for my keyboard fucks shit up.
Yeah.
So I made sure there was nothing plugged into my Xbox beyond just the Xbox on the shelf. Still couldn't get in. Swapped over to my husband's account, and hooray, I was lucky enough that it accepted his EA account. And it was going to let me play. And the moment after I click his account signed in and shit starts rolling that it's going to play, it begins to load and the game crashes. I even took video of all this and sent it to Joe.
Yeah, you did.
And it just does that. And then it crashes just
full on hard crash. I've run into 2 hard crashes myself while playing. I know the one time I was playing with Carnage, it was in between matches, my game locked up. It was me, Carnage, and I think Printmatic, and about 30 seconds after my game crashed and I was sent to the dashboard, the same thing happened to them. So yeah. It looks like crashing is an issue that they need to work on with this early release of the game. I don't want to say like an early build because it's not like a beta release or anything. It has some issues.
I know that a lot of people on release day were saying they were having issues just connecting to the server, but I've not even made it to the point where I can complain about the server.
Yeah.
I can't play the game at all. And like I said, even on two different accounts, but my Xbox One S, for whatever motherfucking reason, it just won't go. But that's not to say that you should take my account with the game and be like, that's just it. The game is garbage and it won't run. Because there are plenty of people who are playing it on every type of console without issue.
Myself included, Carnage included. Yeah. He and I have been teaming up quite a bit playing. It's a lot of fun. They have a handful of different game modes. They have, you know, the standard KO deathmatch where the first team to, I think, 20 kills wins. They have a treasure hunt mode where you have to carry a treasure chest and collect money that way. And then in between rounds, you'll have to actually collect coins on the map, which is pretty neat. They have Rocket Ball, I think it's called, where there's just a ball that spawns and you have to deliver it to your opponent's base. There's King of the Hill. Yeah, they have pretty much all of the main modes that you would expect in a competitive matchmaking game like this. And the important thing is Carnage mentions in chat, matchmaking is quick and stable. We didn't have any issues with games dropping or like, I think one time we started a game and one player on the opposite team quit out.
Yeah.
But aside from that, like there weren't issues with players disconnecting. Aside from that one crash that we had, it's a fairly stable, solid game and it's enjoyable too.
Yeah. I really wanted to get into it, and I feel bad that my experience was what it was because I feel like I'm just stuck here, you know, and it sounds like I'm shitting on it, but it has some potential. I just missed out on it.
You missed out because you literally can't play it.
I literally can't. And I wish I had like some kind of workaround or advice or something that I could throw out there and be like, if you run into this. But also, I think it wouldn't be fair for me to not sit down and say, this is my experience.
Yeah.
Because what if somebody buys the game because we mention it and then they're like, well, you didn't say it was going to fuck my shit up. But
no,
it could. And I don't know why. The biggest piece of advice I have to say is that I am on an Xbox One S, and I think everybody else is playing on an X. I don't know what Carnage is on. Carnage might only be on an S. Carnage is on an S, and he can play fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
something's just fucky with your account somewhere. You need to get in touch with EA and get that sorted out somewhere.
I did open a support ticket, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully I get some feedback back or something. But basically, at this point, it's just been like, did you turn your Xbox on and off?
Yeah.
So I don't have any, you know, sage wisdom for a fix at this point. But maybe in a couple days, we'll have something figured out. And maybe next week, I can come back and be like, I finally got to play. Yeah.
When you do get a chance to play it, we'll obviously have an update on the review and we'll talk about it some more. But as it stands, you can't give it a review at $29.99. Personally, I'm going to give it a recommended try it. It is a lot of fun. I worry about player base in games like this. I think if this was something, I know EA doesn't do this, but if it launched directly to the EA Access Vault, I think this would have been great for the game. Mm-hmm. I think microtransactions would help the game big time because obviously, having a battle pass and having cosmetics, it has microtransactions. So thankfully, all of them are cosmetic only.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not spending money to increase your abilities in the game. It's just cosmetic stuff. And a lot of the cosmetics you can earn just through, you know, the in-game currency that you earn by leveling up and winning matches and completing goals and daily objectives and shit like that. But yeah, for $30, it's fun. It's a good time. It's something that I've voluntarily fired up and was like, hey, Carnage, do you want to play a couple of rounds? And I don't really get that with games that much anymore. It's usually you know, you play what you have to play and then move on. And I just found myself coming back to this one and wanting to play it. And I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Carrion, developed by Phobia Games Studio, published by Devolver Digital, released July 23rd on Xbox One, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Is available as part of Xbox Game Pass PC and console, Windows 10 only. Obviously, you're not going to get this on Steam for free. Uh-huh. Carrion is a reverse horror game in which you assume the role of an amorphous creature of unknown origin, stalking and consuming those that imprisoned you. Cole, tell us about this one.
Hi, yes. May I introduce you to my lord and savior, the Carrion Monster? Oh, he's so good. He, she, it
Carnage
is a monster.
Carrion, my wayward
care.
Son.
Oh. I've seen that joke so many times that I was ignoring it. I am absolutely headstrong, fucking just in love with this game. I thought I was going to enjoy Carrion, okay? I thought, what a creative concept where you play as the monster instead of just the people shooting the monster. I didn't think that I was going to find myself sitting here at 4:32 in the morning trying to solve a puzzle where I needed to be invisible and still maintain electricity as a monster. But here we are in my life. And I am not disappointed by it. It's a very, very detailed pixel art game, which in a lot of instances, I can be a snob. I know it. I'm aware of it. Sometimes we get pixel games in and I'm like, this is super cool, even though it's a pixel art game. Carrion, the visuals of it had put me off and I was like, I don't have a lot of hope that I personally am going to want to spend an intense amount of time playing a pixel art game. With the exception being like Stardew Valley. And yet somehow I'm just like, man, Carrion looks fucking incredible.
See, pixel art can look good if you don't get all snobbish about it.
There are times, absolutely. And I mean, even like, I think back to like Nightmare Boy, which looked incredible, but I was just like, spending an extreme amount of time playing a game that looks like that. I don't know. There's just something, it doesn't click with me the way it does everybody else.
Drop it!
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sit here and like sugarcoat it and be like, no, I knew it was going to be great. No, I was concerned. But it was great. I was into it. I love the way that the monster moves around in the rooms. Everything is just like a labyrinth. And you're constantly looking for the best routes to get around the enemies, which are usually like researchers who are armed with a pistol. Sometimes they have more. No spoilers, but sometimes they have more. And like they're trying to contain you. Although realistically the game never makes like any active efforts to stop you in your path. Everything is a puzzle rather than an obstacle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not like closing doors on you and locking you out of an area instantly because somebody saw you. It doesn't put any stealth mechanics at play or anything like that. It's like, zoom into this room. If they see you, they see you, eat them. If they don't see you, then find a creative way to eat them. Just roll with whatever happens. There was never any kind of punishment for getting spotted that I couldn't just like reach out and grab somebody and consume them. Except for in later levels when they start shooting fire at you. That's a little more problematic. And then you got to go like find some water and douse off. Then you go back and eat them. But it ultimately always ends up with there's people, you ate them. Eventually you get to be like, there's people and I controlled them parasitically before I ate them.
Nice.
It gets a little cruel. You know, don't play with your food unless you need it to flip a switch for you so that you can continue on your path. I was surprised by how forgiving Carrion is. I didn't expect a game with puzzle elements to this degree to be like, I really just thought it was going to be more like you have to be stealthy and think about how you're going to eat the people rather than just like, wee, I ate everybody next. but it was forgiving in that there were plenty of save points. Every time you save, you get to recover your biomass. So your monster gets bigger the more people you eat, which is fucking fantastic. and also the monster size determines the type of abilities you have access to. So if you're getting shot a lot and you are fucking up, the worst that happens is like you may not be able to use the ability that you need until you eat somebody and get a little bigger. But if you want, if you take a whole lot of hits and you're kind of like squished down to being the little tiny monster you start off with, it's just as simple as like backing up a couple rooms because you're never locked in where you are. You always have free range to go where you want, as long as you solve the puzzle to progress. So you can just back up a couple rooms and go to your last save and retrieve your biomass and go back at it and get you essentially got your health back. That does lead to some interesting puzzle dynamics too, though, because you need to manage how large your monster is to have access to certain abilities. So when you're large, for example, you may be able to push through wooden barriers, but you can't reach through small metal bars because your arms are too fat. Your tentacles get fluffy. So you may need to actually like find a safe place to shed some of your biomass so that you can continue on to solve a puzzle before you go back and retrieve it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's a super cool mechanic that took me a while to catch on to because I was like, the fuck, I can't use what I want. And then it doesn't hold your hand at all. It doesn't help you and explain to you. It'll be like, congrats, you got this ability. Now you can do this. And then that's the extent of its telling you how to use any of these things. Each of your abilities are put up in a corner. So you have left bumper and left trigger respectively and right bumper, right trigger. And it shows what your abilities are with a little icon. The problem is that it doesn't really show you, okay, you have to be big or small to use it. So you have to figure all that out for yourself, which in a lot of games, I would be like, this is awful. Just tell me. But in the case of Carrion, it makes sense because a monster wouldn't fucking know. It would just do it on accident, right?
Yeah.
So that's what you got to do. You got to figure it out on accident. It does mean that you can kind of spend a lot of time on earlier puzzles, but once you get the mechanics down and you get the handle of how, like, oh, I can only turn into like the eel looking tentacle things when I'm in water to get through the bars. Otherwise I need to actually shoot out an extension of myself, or, oh, I can only go through the wood, or I can only hit these stop gaps from this side. Once you get the hang of the rules of it, then it just starts to feel natural as you unlock more and more. I don't know if I necessarily want to say that it's a shorter game. It does take, I think it's pretty well paced, and it takes about 7 to 8 hours. I've heard some people say, yeah, I've heard some people say 6. I don't know how. I got stuck on too much shit to be at 6 hours for Karen. There are some flashback scenes where you're controlling a human character for a short amount of time. There are plenty of people who are going to be pissed off about those scenes because they're worth 0 gamer score. And there are also people who are going to be pissed off to know that there are odd achievement numbers. But I know you love your odd
achievement. Oh, I love odd achievement numbers. Now I want to play the game even more.
Yeah, there's an 8 and a 2. So that's something to look forward to. And they're early unlocks, so they'll fuck up your gamer score right royal for you if you don't get both of them. But yeah, it's on Game Pass because it launched straight into it. And if you're not fucking playing it, I don't know what you're doing with your life. You need to sit down, dedicate one day of your weekend this week to just playing Carrion and being happy about it.
Well, then your official verdict for $20?
Fucking absolutely buy it.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I wanna give this one a go myself, so I might just do it.
You can play it on Windows 10 too, because your computer could handle it.
I know. I might do have it. To. Might
do
have
it,
to.
Do it, do it, do it.
I should play it during the show like you.
Yes. I'm not playing it right now. I wish I was. I wish I was. But I am not.
I don't want to fuck like, the recording.
This is too complicated of a show tonight for me to be playing a game, so I've been good. Cole, will this game give me seizures? I don't think so. I can't think of any moments where there was... Oh, there are some flashing lights. I take that back. I'm sorry. Yeah, there are some flashing lights. I would say maybe if you play it in a well-lit room and don't be tired, you might be okay. But there are some sequences that might be a problem.
Good warning to know.
Yeah. That's a good... I'm glad Aki asked that, because it does say at the beginning that there are flashing lights and stuff. But I've most of the time that I have played it has been in a well-lit room. I don't have seizures, but there are games that will bother me visually.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any problems with this one. But if you have a really low threshold for something like that, take that into consideration.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Rainswept, developed by Frostwood Interactive, published by Two Awesome Studio, released July 21st on PS4, 22nd on Xbox One, 24th on the Switch for $9.99. Rainswept takes you on an emotional adventure in a small town affected by a double shooting. Join Detective Stone and unravel the entangled threads of love, relationships, and unresolved trauma. Cole, tell us about Rainswept.
So, Rainswept is one of those games that in a lot of situations, I would kind of fuss about being suited to the internet ugly aesthetic. Not so far gone as like Soda Drinker Pro level of internet ugly. But like, as a digital artist, it triggers me. But I've adjusted to it and accepted it. Something about the art, even though it's ugly, lends to its charm. The whole point of the game is that it's a point and click. One of the things that tipped me off on it immediately was the first time I encountered one of the police. I noticed that his hat said police backward. And the only thing I could justify this from was that they probably made the sprite and then realized they wanted him to stand somewhere else in the game, so they just mirrored it.
Maybe.
But then the next scene, you're investigating a crime scene. And it, like I said, this is all point and click. You're playing as a troubled detective with a past that you don't understand. You got to unravel. I can't get too into it. It gets spoilery. And the whole point of a murder mystery is to uncover the mystery and have fun with that. So I don't want to spoil anything. But so the next scene, when you're inside the actual crime scene, there's a police officer kneeled down in the background, and he's like taking crime scene photos, and his animation loop just has him like, he'll take the camera picture and then he'll put the camera down and he looks over his shoulder and then looks back. They've done the mirror trick here too. So on his hat constantly in the background is flipping back and forth, police backward and forward, backward, forward, backward. And this is why I say it kind of falls into that internet ugly aesthetic, but it just fills out the charm somehow. Like, that's such a weird thing. You know they had to notice it, and they just decided to leave it that way. And to an extent, you're like, normally I would bitch and give you grief for this, polish your game. But in this instance, I don't know. It happens so much that it starts to just become a quirk that you appreciate and smirk at when you see it. That I'm just like, at first I was annoyed, but at this point, if police isn't backward on somebody's hat, I'm more annoyed they missed the chance to add it. And that kind of follows through to the extent of the game as a whole, where like, there's just moments where you're like, of course they fucking added that. It's the quirk had to be there. I found it to be incredibly charming. It kind of gave me Thimblewood. What was it?
Thimbleweed Park.
Thimbleweed Park. There we go. They like just the way that the narrative and the mystery aspect of it plays out, I was on board with it after just a few seconds, just because of the quirks. Even though it's things I would normally be like, fuck this. We got to dock the points. This is unacceptable. this is just terrible. But no, with Rainswept, I became endeared to it, and I looked for it and enjoyed it even more. The story is pretty much a basic whodunit, and I'm not inclined to be like, gobble it up for the story. It's something you'll never have experienced before. Like, I immediately was playing it, and I was like, I already have theories about where this is going to go. And I can't say yes or no because I streamed it and I know some people watched me, and I don't want to like spoil it before we get to the end again on the end on the stream. But like, it's so quirky and like typical murder mystery that you can't help but enjoy it. But you've got to already be like on board and prepared to overlook a lot of the weird little mishaps, like the police going backward and forward, unless you're going to look at it for fun.
Yeah. So if you could get around the quirks, $10 on this one, what do you think of it?
I give it a buy it. I had a good time with it. I think it's plenty enough to justify the price. It lasted far longer than I was expecting. There may be multiple endings. I need to double check, because I know on my first playthrough I picked certain options, and there's like different options that I missed out on for dialogue, and I want to go back and look and see if like I should be choosing different ones on my second playthrough. Because there's definitely options, but I don't know if it's multiple endings.
Yeah.
Because there was an embargo, I didn't get to look. And then I forgot to look. So.
Proud of you.
Yeah. And then I was like, I should look and see if there were endings. And then until I said it just now, I'd forgot it again.
Proud of you. So proud. Anyway, we got one final game to talk about tonight that is called Aircraft Evolution, developed by Satyr Entertainment, published by Sometimes You, released July 22nd on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $9.99. Aircraft Evolution is an action game where you have the task of destroying enemy bases by bombarding them with your aircraft. Paul, sounds simple enough, is it?
It's 110% simple enough. That's really all there is. It's just a side scroller. There's a horizon line at the bottom. And sometimes there's enemies on foot, sometimes there's enemies on buildings, sometimes there's enemies in tanks, sometimes they're in anti-aircraft thingies. I don't know, there's a couple of different options. And you basically just hold down the trigger and drop bombs on them, and that's about it. If you get them all, great. If you don't, well, you don't get as good a score. Sometimes you can fail, because it is super simple, but there are different challenge options. And so there's a ton of different levels, and I don't want to like sit here and poo-poo this game that is super simple and you could knock it out in like 5 minutes or whatever. That's not true. Even though it doesn't really shake up the gameplay mechanics in any way, there are different levels with different challenges. Like, it'll be like, oh, make sure you knock out all the enemies, or make sure you knock out all the buildings, or make sure you take out this or take out that, or take out this in a certain amount of time. There are some levels where, like, you're flying through an aerial minefield and there's mines coming down with parachutes and you got to make sure you don't get hit. It doesn't shake up its genre in any kind of way. It's not the kind of game that you're going to pick up and play because it blows your mind or it rocks your world. It's one of those games you're like, oh, well, that's interesting. I like planes that go from left to right and shoot shit. Let's play this. And that's fine. It's fine for what it is. I will say I do have one complaint. I don't know if this is necessarily a me thing or the game thing. The plane is super fucking slow. There's no sensitivity options. There's no way to speed it up. It just goes fucking slow. I lied. You can use gas and go a little faster, but then you have to refuel. And eventually you run out of fuel, because you only have so much fuel unless you keep picking it up. But I mean, it's just a very slow game. If they had made the boosting speed the speed of the plane overall and gave you that maneuverability, and it would have been a lot better for me. I know that it's supposed to be like this vintage old aircraft, but just it's slow. I'm pretty sure the Wright brothers ran faster than this airplane.
Oh, Jesus. So basically speed the game up.
Speed the game up, and it would be 100 times more enjoyable. And because there's plenty of challenges, plenty of levels. Like I said, it's not mind-blowing, but I would have enjoyed it a lot more if it hadn't been so slow.
Yeah, well, $10 on it, what do you say?
I'm okay with a try it. I mean, it doesn't break. It plays. Doing better than some of the other games I reviewed this week.
True.
So, I mean, I don't have any complaints other than it's slow gameplay for me, but I'm sure a lot of other people are okay with it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. We made it.
We did it.
2.5 hours.
Fuck. We're done, though.
Not bad.
It could have been four.
For 600th episode, not bad.
It could have been four.
It definitely could have. And with Purnell here, it definitely could have.
It definitely could have. I'm a little amazed. I feel like for a celebratory episode, this bitch was a speedrun.
Well, we didn't celebrate too much. I mean,
we should have, though.
Well, how can we celebrate besides giving a shout out to Swizzlers for dropping 100 more biddies in chat? Thank you, Swizzlers. George, take it away.
Dropping bits!
So how do we celebrate? How can we celebrate to end the show?
I don't know. Why are you asking me all the important questions? I don't know. I'm
trying to get feedback here. I can't figure this shit out myself.
We've been doing this. I've been on here. We talked about this a minute ago. I've been on here for 380 episodes, and I can't even come up with final words.
That's true.
And here you're like, how do we celebrate? Fuck if I know. Play this music.
Swizzler says have a pizza.
I did have pizza for dinner. I will go have more pizza and probably play Carry On.
And Chris says he's eating pizza now. So it looks like I need to go make a pizza.
Yeah.
Swizzlers, let's celebrate the death of Mixer today.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. I guess those are some good final words for the episode. Rip Mixer, long live SML, right?
Yes. We outlived Mixer.
Suck it, Mixer.